Blog Talk Radio.
No chance, but that's what you got. Up against a machine too strong. Pretty politicians.
Show number 53. Had to start off with a little bit of Michael. Sorry about that. Started off with a little Vince McMahon from, it must have been from about four or five shows ago, and didn't reset it to start off with a little Michael. The memorial service for Michael Jackson was today. If you missed it, I'm sure you'll get a chance to see it. It was something, and just thought we'd throw out a little something to tribute the King of Pop. It was a sad thing to watch. No matter how you feel about Michael as a person, it was still a sad thing to watch with his family and friends and all of that today. So may he rest in peace. But moving on to other things, this is show 53. We want to thank everybody in the Madden community. Last week's show was by far our most popular show. And we just one more time want to really thank representatives from EA Sports, Ian Cummings, Donnie Moore, Phil Frazier, and Rob Semsey, who did not make the show but was instrumental in setting that up for us. We just want to thank all of them. That show was our number one show ever. It was the number one Madden show ever in Blog Talk history, and we also climbed to number one in our category and as high as number nine on the entire Blog Talk Radio site, and there are hundreds and hundreds of shows on that site, and we climbed as high as number nine. So we want to thank them for coming on the show, and we want to thank everybody out there who listened to the show and heard directly from the proverbial horse's mouth some of the things that we can expect with Madden 10 set to drop August 14th. So we're about 5.5 weeks away from the drop of Madden. Let me introduce my co-host. He is on the line with us, making his debut tonight, the one and only from Madden Nation 4, Cornstar. Welcome to the Madden Voice.
What's going on?
You the man. Welcome to the show. Your debut tonight. Now, you're going to do a very special segment a little later in the show for the tournament community.
Yes, I am.
All right. So, guys, stay tuned. Cornstar's got his segment ready to go a little later in the show just for you guys out there. And we also have Coach K on the line. Coach K, welcome to the Madden Voice.
Hey, what's going on?
Welcome to the show. And we have a whole host of guests. And we're going to do a very thorough preview of the NCAA 10 game that is due out in just one short week. But before we get to NCAA, before we get to the Madden Federation stuff on ranking points, and we'll talk about that a little bit later, too, as there were some hot and heavy conversations about ranking points for the Federation. We have an extra special guest on. Now, you may remember a couple of weeks ago on the Madden Voice, I received a tweet from a young lady by the name of Wendy who had asked some questions about the game. And I said at that time it was really great to hear from a female that was interested in the game of Madden, and it's not something we see a lot in this community. So it was really nice, and I even extended kind of an informal offer. You know, if you ever want to check out the league, feel free to do so. And, you know, Wendy then after the show sent me a message, and I'm gonna read this message that she sent. She said, I got to find the message. Hold on. Let me find the message. Okay, here it is. Wait a minute. That's not it either. All right, Wendy, where'd the message go that Wendy sent? Okay, here it is. This was the message she sent after listening to the show. I got to listen to the podcast this morning. Great show. It was super that you got Ian and company. Not only was it a great interview, but I liked the fact that you are all professional and not get into the silliness and the non-family friendly stuff I hear on so many podcasts. Thanks again. I've been weighing joining the EAFL, and the show you did is making me lean in the directions of joining. Best wishes, Wendy. Well, lo and behold, shortly thereafter, Wendy sent in an application to join the EAFL, and I was so excited that I asked her to come on the show. So, Wendy from Virginia, welcome to the Mad Boys.
Thank you.
You're welcome. See, now we got to do a little more for you than just that. My apologies if that sounds like sizzling bacon. It's supposed to be people applauding. So, Wendy, tell us, I mean, this is intriguing to many of us in the community. Tell us about your experience with Madden, the video game of Madden.
Well, in terms of video games, about 10 years ago, I played, not something totally different from Madden. I got into EverQuest for a while and kind of fell out of that because it just didn't, required really long periods of time that, as a working adult, just didn't, work for me. But I got back into games probably about 2 years ago. I got a 360 and now PS3. And I've always liked football. I started watching football as a kid. My dad is a rabid New York Giants fan, so of course you pick that up. And started playing Madden last year. Played a little bit, and I realized I have a lot to learn. It's a fairly involved game. And I heard your show, and I was planning on getting both NCAA and Madden this year. And I thought this would be a way. Joining the league would be a way to really learn the game and to push myself to pick up my game. So, I play other video, all sorts of video games, although lately it has been a lot of sports games.
Now, when you play the sports games, do you normally play against the computer? Do you go online? Do you play against friends of yours?
Mostly against the computer, but what I'll do is I'll maybe play a few rounds in Fight Night against the computer, and then I might go online for a match or two. That's pretty much how I do online.
Interesting. Now,
Fight Night is a great game, by the way. I have to throw that in there. I'm a huge fan of Fight Night. That's what I'm playing exclusively until Madden 10 comes out.
Oh yeah, I'm really enjoying it and very realistic. Try hitting Ali, not so easy.
Yeah, definitely.
So how do we get now? We've got you interested. How do we go and get other people? I've talked with a lot of people in the community, and we just there's millions and millions of people that buy the Madden video game, that buy the NCAA video game. And how do we go? In your opinion, we got you. How do we go get more people like you that may not even know that there's another whole world of video gaming out there?
How do you get to people who don't know about this world of video gaming?
Yeah, the online world, online leagues, online competition.
Well, think something like I watched the Madden that Madden Challenge last year, the one where they're on the bus and they play at all the different stadiums, and that's quite interesting. So that introduces you to the competitive Madden world, at least seeing that there is that world out there. I think how I found your podcast is I was interested in Madden, so I started surfing or hunting on iTunes for Madden-related podcasts and found this one, enjoyed it, and thought, I think I'll give a league a shot and, go through the seasons and see how I do, see how I improve. And take it from there. And I think, the iTunes is one good way to get your work, you get people's attention. I'm wondering if there was some way that they could try to, in something like the Madden Challenge, maybe let people know that, no, you don't have to be one of these, most elite of the elite to play competitively. The competitive world is open to people at all levels. I'm not sure how they would do that in that context.
You're certainly speaking words that are near and dear to our heart, because that's definitely the message that we'd like to send is, I mean, we have on the line a co-host, Cornstar, and if you watched the Madden Nation 4, then you certainly were introduced to Cornstar. You know, and he's one of the best players in the country. But, you know, there is a whole other segment of players out there that we want to introduce these games to and let them know, hey, you know, the tournaments and the online leagues and all of these things that are going on aren't just for the premier players. They're really for everybody to come and compete.
Mm-hmm.
So I agree with you.
We definitely need to grow as a community. It's not like, you know, what Commish T and, you know, what she was just saying. It's about, you know, all certain levels of competition coming together as one and just making the community stronger. And, you know, like the camaraderie and all that other stuff is, you know, is a huge part of in all of this, really. So, I mean, it's not just about who's the best and everything. It's having fun, you know, doing something you really like or in some cases love. And it's definitely, you know, a good thing to have all kinds of competition and stuff like that for these events.
You know, I know that we have a lot of people on the line for NCAA, but I can't help but ask. We have with us both from EA Sports, both community manager Will Kinsler, known to all of us simply as Rack, and we have Justin on the line as well, both community managers for EA Sports. Now, you guys, you're hearing this, and you're hearing this lovely young lady who wants to join, and some of the things she's saying. What do you guys think about how can we reach out to more people like Wendy to have them plug into what's going on? There's so many good things going on in these communities. You guys have any thoughts on this?
Yeah, absolutely. This is Rack, and I think I've actually talked to Wendy a little bit on
yeah,
Facebook.
On Twitter.
Yeah, on Facebook and on Twitter, and we've had some good conversations. I think that, you know, what's interesting about the games, you know, when you look at them and sort of the long history that the community has is that I can remember even 6-7 years ago, you know, sort of finding, like, Madden websites, and, you know, I was always somebody who played the game. I'd probably played the game for more than 10 years by the time I found a Madden website and a Madden community to be involved in. And that, for me, was something that really kind of, like, took the game to the next level. But it was something that I didn't know about. It was something that I wasn't aware about. And so, you know, one of the things that we like to do is that we actually have a lot of good, you know, tools in the game now that kind of let people know who are playing the game, whether it's through, like, the load screens or, you know, certain areas of the game, of some of the community-related things that we're doing, whether it's happening on our site or, you know, other places. And I think Wendy makes a great point of, you know, for a lot of people it is about competition, but not everybody is going to be able to win the Madden Challenge. And so it's about other things as well. Like, you know, for example, we do top 10 videos where people are uploading their videos to EA Sports World. And, you know, that's, you know, one way for people to kind of, you know, show their creativity in the game and how they're interacting with the game. So I think it's about putting a message out there that, you know, competition is a really great thing. But if that's not your cup of tea, then there's other ways to be creative with the game as well.
Yeah, the videos, I like that feature. I've used it in FIFA and Fight Night, you know, uploading, you know, the goals and so forth.
Yeah, all the highlight videos and stuff you upload.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, you know, we're gonna keep at it. You know, we're gonna keep trying to expand the community and really, you know, reaching out to people like Wendy and anyone else out there. And it's good to know that the iTunes subscription works. People actually found us that way. And I saw you made your way over to the Madden Lab. So that's good. So, I mean, slowly but surely, you're finding out some of the resources that are available to anybody who's just interested. Even like Rack said, even if you're, you know, not necessarily interested in playing in the Madden Challenge and doing it that way, there's just so many other things out here for people that just want to compete, just have a good time and enjoy the game. And so it's really good to have you joining us. And
thank you.
You know, I hope that after you go through your first season, we'd love to have you come back on the show and give an honest accounting of what you thought your first season in the EAFL.
Okay, that sounds good.
Be like a true life special season in the EAFL. Be nice.
I tell you, I smell a reality show here right now. All right. Well, Wendy, listen, I know you have things to do. I appreciate you making time for us tonight.
Well, thank you for having me.
No, it's not a problem at all. We look forward to you participating in the league this year, and we'll be talking to you.
Thanks.
All right. Take care.
Take care. All right. Good night.
Bye-bye. All right. Wendy from Virginia, soon to be the EAFL's first at least to our knowledge, at least to our knowledge, our first female competitor. So that's an exciting day for the AFL. All right.
Hey, T, before you go on, I got to add another comment. I might need to, as you know, get Emma on this EAFL bandwagon, try to get her to, you know, compete with the other lady in the league, see what happens.
Come on. You ain't saying nothing.
I have to get her on.
Let's
make it happen.
Let's do it. You know, come on. Send it. Tell her to send in that application and let's do it.
All right.
Sounds good. All right. And So let me now introduce everybody else who's been patiently waiting, and we appreciate it. I just introduced Rack and Justin, both with EA Sports community managers, and they'll tell us what, you know, exactly what that means to be a community manager for EA Sports momentarily. We also have from NCAAStrategies.com. We're gonna, he goes by Chris, but for tonight we're gonna call him CDJ, and he is the owner of NCAAStrategies.com. Welcome to the show.
Thanks, guys, for having me on. Good show.
Excellent.
All right.
And from Operation Sports, we also have Chris Sanner, who is the executive features editor from Operation Sports. He will go by Chris tonight, so welcome to the show, Chris.
Pleasure to be back on here, fellas.
Excellent. And from EASportsFan.com, the blog editor, and his name is Mike. Mike, welcome to the Madden Voice.
Great. Hey, thanks for having me on.
No, good to have you here. And bring back on Coach K. Coach K is co-commissioner of the EAFL and does a lot to produce this show for us, and is also our community relations manager. So he's got multiple hats. And because Coach K has really been a little bit more involved in NCAA than myself, he's kind of going to lead the conversation. But before we get into NCAA, I think it would be good, since we did have some other EA Sports guys on last week, maybe if Rack or Justin or both can just kind of explain to everyone listening exactly what you guys do as community managers for EA Sports.
Sure. So you know, Justin and I both work out of the EA Sports Tiburon studio, where Madden and NCAA football and Tiger Woods and now EA Sports MMA are all developed. And, you know, as community manager, we do a lot of different things, you know, but, you know, first and foremost, you know, we're the people that are kind of on the boards, you know, that are in the blogs and working with the dev teams on blogs. And then a lot of the content that you see on the websites comes either from our team or another team that we work very closely with, which is our live production team. If you've ever seen, you know, the things like the top tens, or have ever seen any of our events coverage from places like Madden Bowl or the EA Sports Gillette Champions of Gaming, you know, that's a team that we work very closely with, you know, in producing content for the websites. And we also manage a lot of the relationships with our community sites, you know, whether it's, you know, guys like, you know, Mike from EA Sports Fans or CDJ from NCAA Strategy. So, you know, we like to think that we're, you know, a part of the community and sort of representing, you know, EA from our side of that relationship.
Sounds good. Justin, did you want to add anything?
Yeah, I mean, just pretty much like Will said, we see ourselves as the people to go to up at the community sites for the community in general. If there's an issue, we're the people it's usually brought to, and then we bring it to the dev teams and try to find solutions. So, you know, we exist for the benefit of the community.
Sounds good. Sounds great. Okay. And I guess just so everybody knows what everybody does, CDJ, talk a minute about what NCAA Strategies is.
Well, it's a lot of things. The game has a lot of features, from online dynasty to the stadium sounds aspect. This year we have Team Builder and Season Showdown. So we have a lot of different things going on. Some of the big things I'd like to do are, we have a pretty big Dynasty and League Central sub-forum where if somebody's looking for an online Dynasty or a league to join, they go there, either post that they have a league or look for one and join one. We have a lot of guys who have invested in recording devices, so they've been working on strategy videos. So we're working pretty hard this year to increase our presence on that front. And also we're going to try to be a good source for when the – and we'll talk about this later on tonight – when the roster file next week comes out from EA, the correct one for the game, we'll make sure to stress where that's at so people can go and find it.
Sounds great. Sounds great. And Chris, good to have you back with Operation Sports. And can you tell everybody exactly what Operation Sports is?
Well, Operation Sports, we're basically the biggest sports gaming website on the internet. We kind of just do the normal, you know, press journalism thing, such as news, reviews, previews, that sort of thing. And then we have the forums, which are basically a great source of info for any sports game you could imagine, from Madden, NCAA to MLB The Show, NBA 2K, you know. So that's basically what we do. We're dedicated to sports gaming. That's our motto. We do everything, try to do everything well under the sun, but sometimes some things better than others, you know. So that's Operation Sports in a nutshell.
Excellent, excellent. Last but definitely not least, Mike, talk to us about EASportsFans.com.
Well, let's see. EA Sports Fans used to be, you know, more well better known as MaddenPlanet.com, and then we sort of changed into EA Sports Fans a couple years ago. And Andy, the owner of that, came to me, and I had been blogging for many years about different topics, mostly about politics and in newspapers. And he asked me if I was interested in getting into, you know, video game blogging, particularly with Madden, you know, my favorite product. And so so we just started our Madden blog up a few months ago, and it's taken off really well, and there's a lot of good conversation about, you know, which teams are overrated and underrated. And we really just try and give a synthesis of the information that you can get on the sports gaming websites, you know, like Operation Sports. You get a lot of information in their forums, and we try and grab some of that info and put it into one, you know, central location so people can easily get that and talk about it on there.
Sounds good. Sounds great. All right. All right, Coach K, I'm ready to turn this over to you to lead the discussion on NCAA 10. Are you ready?
Ready.
Good. And this is for all the guys out there that said, how come we don't ever get to hear Coach K? Now they'll all be happy to hear Coach K do a segment. You got a lot of fans, Kev.
All right, all right. All right, well, just starting out, I know, Chris, I spoke to you a little bit earlier. You said that you know, you were able to get your hands on the game and play a little bit. I just wanted to know, and also, too, I think Rack and
yeah.
And Justin, you guys have had a chance to play the game a little bit, too?
Absolutely.
All right. Yeah. And how about CDJ and Mike?
Yep. I haven't gotten to play it. Nope.
No.
Okay.
Not
all right. Yet. Okay. But you did go to the participate in the community day events and so on and so forth, right?
Yeah. I actually didn't go this year. I wasn't invited this year.
Oh.
I know.
Okay.
We had other folks from them, but I don't think they can make it tonight.
Ah, okay. That's no problem. All right. So, well, basically, just everyone that I just want to get your impressions on from the community day to E3, and well, for the people that were able to make it to now. Like, what's the biggest changes that you've seen in the game, like improvements or anything like that?
Everybody at the same time?
Well, I mean, for me personally, I didn't get to go to E3 or the community day, so this question's not really for me, but just from seeing, you know, playing the demo and such. The demo, really, the last month or so, since, you know, with all the news and stuff coming about NCAA, about the roster issue, a lot of people hating on the camera angles and stuff, I was really down on the game. And now that I'm six games into my NCAA 10 experience, I can honestly say I'm really quite, I don't know, I guess I'd say a lot more pumped about the game than I was, say, even 2 weeks ago. So that's my basic answer to this question. That's all I can really give to it.
Yeah, you know, what I think is interesting about, you know, the game and kind of, you know, it's a bit unique for us to kind of sit in the studio and, you know, Justin and I, we don't work on the game, but we get to see it being developed and try it at various stages. And it's always really interesting how quickly it comes together. And I think that CDJ can probably attest to this as well, because over the last couple of years, he come out to our early community events and had a chance to kind of play it and then obviously play the final product. But, you know, early on, you know, the game is definitely in a state of, you know, being worked on, you know, even when we're showing it to guys, you know, like CDJ. But it always comes together very quickly and right near the end of the cycle. And I can remember the first time, you know, that I was here for, you know, NCAA being shipped, and I was playing the game early on, and I was thinking, man, you know, this doesn't really look so great right now. And then, but, you know, sure enough, towards the end of the cycle, it always ends up, you know, coming together. And even in between the, you know, times where you see builds of the demo and then the final game, you know, it can, you know, have a level of polish that, you know, wasn't there even, you know, weeks before.
Yeah, I'll talk about from Community Day how it changed the demo at least. I know at the Community Day, like Rack said, some weird things happened. The game crashes. There's some weird transitions. Some of the animations, when we were down there, they were just added, like on the option game, so they weren't quite tuned quite correctly. But then in the demo, things are a lot tighter, and ranging from major to minor issues, I can see a lot of changes and improvements. Gameplay-wise, the defense is a lot quicker, a lot smarter, a lot sharper, especially. And that goes all the way down to minor things, like the setup plays are now a little bit easier to recognize. I know some things in the recruiting screen are changed based on our feedback from the Community Day. So there's quite a bit of changes that go on in that time. But at the same time, it's interesting at the Community Day playing a game, because I know some guys didn't have much luck finishing a full game because of freezes and issues. But for the most part, you can see a lot of improvements from the Community Day to the demo version.
Okay. All right. And have any of you had a chance to take a look at the different playbooks in the games? Are there any that like stand out to you? And have you guys also had a chance to try out the new Flexbone?
Well, I'm an Oklahoma Sooner fan, so I really watched a lot of the Florida Gators last year, and I fell in love with Urban Meyer's offense. And so this year I decided I didn't know which team I was going to play with, but I was going to play with the Florida playbook. I made that determination early on, and so far, so good. I mean, I absolutely love the Florida playbook. Just be all the plays, you know, all the different emotions and counters and such. I mean, it's amazing. So, really, to me, I really love how the playbooks are this year. I've played through Florida's, Oklahoma's, played through a couple of the generic ones. I really think they're put together a lot better than what they have been the past couple of years. Honestly, that's my honest opinion on it.
Okay. And looking at Florida and Oklahoma's playbooks, are they the same? Are they the same as in the demo? Because I know they, you know.
I'm trying to remember back to the demo. That was probably about 6 or 7 game demos ago, and I'm trying to remember. I only gave NCAA a couple of playthroughs, but they seem pretty similar, I think.
All right.
But I'm not 100% for sure, honestly. I don't remember too much about the NCAA demo, except I was kind of down on the game, really. So that's the only real thing I remember from it. I remember playing Fight Night and just a bunch of other demos since then. It's kind of a blur now.
Okay. All right. And what mode have you been playing so far? Have you been playing a lot of Dynasty, or have you just been doing a lot of Exhibition mode?
For me, I think I jumped in. First thing I did, I had to try out the team builder, just because I did spend a laborious amount of time putting together my alma mater from high school and a couple of our rivals. So I had to jump in and play a game with team builder, and I did that and play now. And then the teams looked, you know, just as what they should, no problem, something like that, definite relief. And now I'm in dynasty mode with New Mexico State and enjoying it for the most part. I'm 3-0, surprisingly, so we'll see. I might have to bump it up to Heisman for the first time in a few years, I think.
Oh, definitely. Now, I know, like, different websites have, the different sites have put their own teams into Team Builder. Has everyone finished their teams for each of their respective sites?
Well, over at EA Sports Fans, we tried to get different members of the community to come together and kind of give some of their, you know, ratings and statistics and what positions they would play. And so we just started working on the logos, and we're getting the team built together. But it should be kind of fun to, you know, to play with the digital representations of all the different members of the forums who have been there for, you know, for a few years.
Okay.
Yeah, we've done the same with NCAA strategies. We have a team based on a lot of our members. We had them all contribute, and we have a lot of guys ranging from our diehard veterans to new guys who found the board relatively recently. And they're all pretty excited to take the team, download them, and they've all had pretty good say in what they want their players to play like, well, what they want to do with the team. We've had voting for the stadium, for all the acts, the coach name. But they're pretty excited to get their hands on this phone and download the team and kick a little butt with it.
All right. And now, also, too, I know they said this year that they're supposed to be a the online dynasty is supposed to have the custom conferences introduced into it. Have any of you had a chance to play around with that?
I got a chance early on. I played around with it a little bit, swap teams in and out. I haven't got to really simulate a dynasty yet with it, but I'm wanting to do a few things, such as maybe try to recreate the old Big Eight and Southwestern conferences and a couple other things. So that's something I'm wanting to get done before next Tuesday. So I guess if anybody's interested in that, stay tuned to OS, because we will hopefully have something on that within the next few days.
Okay. All
right. Right, we're at Madden Planet. I know a few members are hoping to have a little bit of a repeat of what the old Big East was before, before it lost a lot of their teams. So, so they're hoping to put that back together for an online dynasty, and it does work because there aren't, too many, there's only so many players that can play in an online dynasty, and that really works for putting a custom conference together. So I think that the new feature that's available to make that custom conference, that'll be fun for a lot of people who. You might like to play with different people from forums, but their team isn't in the same conference as somebody else, so they wouldn't face, in the regular season. So I think that's a good addition to the game this year.
Okay, all right. So you want to get Miami and Boston College?
Miami, get Boston College back, maybe some Virginia Tech, and get them back against each other like the old days.
All right. And now because I know that NCAA is famous for their authenticity when it comes to the stadiums and the little nuances that they have around the stadiums and stadium sounds, custom end zones, and all that other stuff. Was there anything of note or anything of new that you saw in any of the stadiums so far that stood out to you?
We actually had a blog about this a little while back. I'll try to send it to you later, and you can post to the site. But we had a video of several games that are in the game and a couple of images of updates that were in the game. Off the top of my head, I can't remember what all of them were. I know that there were a handful, but I'll absolutely send that through to you so you guys can take a look at it.
Just as far as for me, just playing it and such, graphics and everything. I've had a couple of questions on OS about this, are the graphics, a lot of people were worried about the graphics being a step down in the demo, but they're really similar to last year's. My main gripe as far as stadium sounds and such are, I would say the crowd chants are just, they're not good at all. If I have one big complaint about the game so far, I can't even understand what they're saying, and they're just all distorted and stuff. I don't know what the thought process there was. If I got a gripe about the game right now, definitely that's it.
Oh, okay. All right. And
let me real quick, I just want to say that I'm sorry for the technical difficulty with the chat room. I am connected with the technical support as we speak, and they are looking into it. So if you guys are having trouble getting into the chat room, I apologize. Just keep trying. Hopefully it'll be cleared up momentarily. But you can still call in if anyone has questions. We will take live questions, 347-838-9525 if you want to call in. You can Twitter us at the Madden Voice on Twitter.com. And you can catch me on AOL Instant Messenger, EAFL Commissioner, if you want to send a instant message. You can do that right now. All right. Back to Coach K.
All right. And, first to Chris and, anyone else that wants to answer this question, have you been able to try out the player lock and player assist features on the game?
Yeah, actually, I have. Honestly, a lot of people don't like the feature for some reason, but for me, I always thought for the past 3 or 4 years, defensive play in NCAA has just been, and Madden really, has just been incredibly stale. I've actually, last year, I didn't even play it down at defense once I realized defense wasn't that good to begin with. So But this year I've actually found myself enjoying defense, just being able to do player lock and doing the camera and be able to just, you know, play around with it. And it's a lot – to me, I love being able to, you know, watch the offense. You know, if it's a run play, you work your way down the line. If it's a pass play, you rush forward as a defensive end. And as a linebacker, you know, you got to read your keys, that sort of thing. It's really, to me, I think it's a, I think it's an excellent addition. That's just, you know, I think that is my definite opinion on that. Although a lot of people on OS kind of iffy about it, but, you know, it's whatever.
Right, I think I was going to say, I think if anything, it's a good diversion from the rest of the regular team play. You know, we're used to playing the, you know, the NCAA for pretty much the same way as they've been for all these years. So it's good to see a new addition like that to at least break up some of the, you know, the regular defensive line play. You know, you can actually take control of, you know, an interior lineman or you know, an end. And I think that in and of itself is a good enough addition, although I don't think that it's something that I'll play an entire game as. Maybe, you know, once every defensive set, and it's nice to take control of the linebacker and try and make a play on the ball.
I know on our side we put up a poll last week about, you know, the top features people are looking forward to, and this was actually one of the top probably five or six features that people have played in the demo, and even before that were pretty excited about the player lock, this new way to view the game from on the field. It's almost kind of the Campus Legend view, except in-game, probably improved, but and people are pretty excited about it, at least on NCAA strategies. We've had people play that. It made defense a lot more fun to play, like Chris Sanders said, and I think it's something I know in the demo. I played it, and I liked it. I really didn't think I would give it much of a try, but I found myself on defense using it quite a bit.
Yeah, I'd say I'm using it at least probably half the plays on defense. You know, sometimes on big situations I'll switch off of it because you got to make a stop or something, but definitely I love the feature. I really do. It's a definite nice breakup of the monotony that's been the past few years of defensive gameplay in EA football.
All right. And I know that, to Rack and Dewey, I know there was – wasn't there a poll on EA Sports about what positions people want like to play the most in terms of the player lock?
Yeah, it was – that was actually a general question about Madden. I think the thing that's interesting about player lock is you know, it's really a situational feature, you know, right? Where, you know, to Chris Sanders' point, you know, there might be, you know, a down where, you know, all you really want to do is be the guy rushing the passer. So you'll click on and get a different perspective there. But what's cool about it is that is how quickly you can make it happen. I mean, it's at the push of a button. You know, you can use it when you want to use it. If it's not the right situation, you don't have to. You know, I think that's what's cool about it is just how quickly that you can jump in and out of it.
Okay, all right. And now it kind of like sort of along the same lines as player lock. All right, the new camera angles that they have this year for NCAA. I know some people that I know that you played a lot of Madden say, hey, I'm not used to this camera angle. I don't like it. I mean, I see it as a slight variation on it, but like how are you guys been dealing with it so far?
For me, I thought it was
go
okay.
Go ahead.
Oh, sorry about that.
All right, well, it sounds like we're all talking at once this time. But I'm glad to see that the new camera angles are added. This certainly has – it feels weird to say, but it has almost a Gears of War perspective from it, which, you know, it's more of a, you know, over-the-shoulder third-person cam than say, that we're used to in past, you know, say, Superstar mode. And I like that EA is spending a little bit of time, you know, adding these different cameras to the game, because that's what a lot of fans want. Ultimately, I think that folks really want custom camera angles added back to the games. But for now, I mean, it's a good addition that they are spending some time on the camera angles.
It seems from what I've read on the community sites that people are kind of divided. For me personally, I like it, but I know there are a lot of guys who they don't like the rotation of it, and they kind of wish that there was an option for last year's. But I know with camera angles, like Chris said, it's going to be pretty tough to please everybody until there's a bunch of options to pick from like we had on last gen. But I do think that people, it seems like it's pretty positive on the new coach cam pre-play. This year it's more of an aerial film kind of view that you would see if you were a coach and you had game film and you were showing it to a player.
Yeah.
That seems pretty positive on that aspect.
Yeah.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Oh, no, go ahead.
Okay. Well, I was just going to say, I think a lot of the, I don't know, I don't even know what to call it, paranoia or something about the changing of the camera angle that's been going on in a lot of the community, people swearing off the game and such. I think if that's the only reason you're swearing off this game, it's going to be a big mistake, because I think there's other reasons where you might need to be looking, because the camera angle really, to me, honestly, at first, I forgot all about the new camera angle for some reason when I got into playing the game, and I was, you know, just playing, and I just started thinking, something's different here, and then I was reading about, you know, everyone complaining about the camera angle and asking about it, and it kind of hit me, oh, wait, there's a new camera angle. I knew the coach mode camera angle had changed almost instantly, but to me, I don't even really notice it. I guess a lot of people, I guess, are more sensitive to that fact, maybe, that the camera moves, but to me, I like the fact I can see more of the field. I've been able to make a few plays that I probably wouldn't have been able to make the past few years and that sort of thing, so to me, I really love the camera angle this year. I think, you know, I've always preached on Operation Sports about, on my blog about, you know, customization and giving the gamers the choice. So I'm kind of, I guess I'm disappointed that the old option isn't there. But at the same time, I guess, who am I to argue with that? So.
Hey, let me jump in and bring in a, caller. We have on the line with us from Game Time Philly and also EA Sports community leader, Bobby Storm.
Hey, what's going on, Commish? How you doing?
Good, brother. Bobby. Welcome to the show.
Hey, fellas. Sorry I've chimed in a little late here. I'm just going to catch up with you guys and find out what's going on.
What's going on, Bobby?
Hey, you guys.
All right.
So where are we at, Commish? I'm, like, reading these boards and, like, trying to catch up on everything.
Well, we're still doing our NCAA roundtable. We didn't get to the
okay.
We have Rack on here. We have CDJ.
You got Rack on here?
Yeah, Rack.
Yeah.
Hey, Rack, what's going on, man?
What's up, Bobby?
How you doing?
Doing good.
That's what's
trying to get NCAA into your guys' hands as soon as possible.
Oh man, I know you guys are busy down there.
We are, but it's a good kind of busy. We always look forward to this point in the year where we can finally get the game out the door and into people's hands so they can tell us what they think about it.
All right. Well, you know, I'm only a phone call away, so if you need anything, just holler at me and we'll get it done.
Sounds good.
All right. Well, Bobby, don't go anywhere because you know we're going to need you when we get to the Federation stuff, so don't go anywhere.
Yes,
well, what I'm going to do, Commissioner, I'm going to chime in and out because I'm actually going on my way to work, so I'm like come in and
okay.
Hang up and come back on.
All right, I'll spot your number, so I'll bring you on.
Okay.
All right, thanks, Bobby.
All right,
let me also bring on from the Madden Lab, Gambino.
Hey, T. Hey, guys, how you doing?
Good.
Welcome to the show.
Thanks. One thing I just wanted to give my condolences out to Justin. I know that you had to leave the great state of Ohio, and I know you'll do us proud down in that other state down there. And a quick question. Do you think you could get Terrell Pryor up to about a 115 overall, like maybe in a roster update or something after the release? That would be beneficial to me. But in all seriousness, my question is for Rack. We just had Bobby Storm on the line, who I know has been one of the community leaders in the past, and you know some of the other guys on the call have been in the past or may currently be. What is the process that you guys go through in selecting the community leaders, the guys that come down in either alpha or beta stages to play the game and give you guys feedback?
Sure. I think to provide a little context around this, we have to start with how we got to the point where we're doing these kind of events. Years ago, before I was ever at EA. I used to run a Madden website, and we went to, I think it was Madden 05. We did the first ever community event that we were invited to, and we kind of, got to this point of, where, the EA knew that it was a good idea to bring the community in and check the game. Now, when we did it early on, it was very much at the end of the cycle. The game was pretty much done. It was sort of a reward for community guys who run websites and were involved, to be able to come in and check out the game and let everybat before long, though, I think we kind of realized, hey, we can do more than this. We can bring people out earlier, you know, in the year where they can actually give us some feedback, have an impact on the game. So, you know, fast forward to this year, where we had a very early NCAA football community day and a very early Madden community day. And we actually leaned this year a lot on feedback from the dev teams, you know, because we've had those guys out for the last year and a half now, out on the boards talking with people. They've been able to read feedback from the fans, and I think that, you know, we went and said to those guys, hey, who are the people that are, you know, that are giving you the best feedback about the games? You know, who are the people that are, you know, telling you, you know, like it is, you know, how the game needs to be? And so we got a lot of recommendations from the dev teams in terms of, you know, who they wanted to bring in to come to the event. Now, you know, we know that when we have an event, there's only, you know, so many people that can come through. You know, we still want to maintain relationships and be in touch with as many people as possible, you know, whether it's people who run websites or people who are just active on the boards, communicating with us about the game. And that's why, you know, we have folks like Justin and myself to keep touching and build those relationships, and also, you know, keep talking with people on the forums. But with regard specifically to the events, we definitely leaned really hard on the teams this year to say, hey, you guys have been talking with people. Who are the people you really want to talk to and come in and have an impact on the game? And so they gave us some good lists and names of people, and we brought them in. And I think we're really happy with the people that we brought in. I know for both of the community days, we had guys in the studio until, like, I think it was like 2 or 3, Chris Jacobs, when we had you guys left, and it was just as late with Madden. So, you know, people were really banging hard on the game and giving us some good feedback this year.
Rack, I'm still very upset, by the way. This is Cornstar, that I missed that message you had sent out to me. I believe it was on Madden. I'm not sure which site it was. But I guess I got back to your message late. I guess it was a possibility for me to be flown out there to help you guys. And, you know, I'm just saying in general, if next year you guys need any help or anything, let me know, because I'm definitely interested in helping the game, you know, become better.
Absolutely. I think we missed you by about a day getting a response, but we'll make sure that we're in touch next year so that we can get you out here.
And that's great to hear, Rack. I appreciate that. Cornstar is one of the guys on my staff at the Madden Lab, and he's got a keen eye for finding stuff like that. And the other thing that we tend to find some of the bad things early, you know, is there somewhere we should send that information to? I mean, you know, whether it be Ian's, you know, email address or you, I mean, who should we contact if we find just something that's blatant that we find will really, you know, mess up the online experience for people?
Yeah, you can send that to me. You know, I'm always available. And you know, the one email address I use a lot is footballcommunity@ea.com. We use it for a lot of different things, but that kind of stuff we absolutely use it for too. And so if anybody finds anything that they want to send, you know, they can send it there. They can, you know, contact us via Twitter or via the forums. You know, we're definitely, you know, keeping an eye out and looking for those sort of things. So, you know, absolutely send it our way. And we've had guys send us stuff in the past, and it, you know, it gets addressed for sure.
All right, copy that. Thanks. Thanks for answering my questions. And that, can we stop the old school Madden site beats on Twitter now?
I hope so, man. I hope so. I've been trying to fight that battle for a long time. Of, you know, getting people to understand we're all part of the same family here. So, you know, I like to think that we'll get there one day.
See you guys.
All right.
Thanks a lot, Gambino. That was Gambino from the Madden Lab, and happens to be our partner for the AFL. They're the host of our forums. Great relationship thus far, and expected only to get better. Coach K, were there more features or things discussed? I'm not sure where you guys are at.
Well, I just had a couple more questions regarding the online play.
Okay, good.
All right, cool. Well, the first question I had is that regarding the, and I don't know, Chris or anyone else that wants to answer this, the offensive and defensive strategy tendencies, the ones that you could pick at the beginning of the game or at the play call menu, can those be used against online opponents?
Well, honestly, I'm only six games in, and I haven't even got to play online yet, so probably not my place to answer this. I'm sure Rat can probably answer this, though.
It's able to be used online for sure. I mean, that's a core gameplay component, you know, that's able to be used in all the different areas of the game.
Okay, all right, sounds good. And also, too, and this is more probably more for Rack and Justin, the online points that are rewarded for, like, the reputation points, I know there was something built in for sportsmanship. How do you think that will help with regarding the online experience with people that play NCAA, and do you know if they're going to introduce that to Madden?
I think it'll be interesting to see, people's reaction to that. I don't look at it as like a foolproof way of trying to get people to play a certain way. I think because, you know, what you're looking at is if somebody decides that they're not going to do that and they're not going to use that sort of sportsmanship, then basically the only thing they're denying themselves is points for their school in season showdown. And so it's only a big deterrent if you care a lot about that. But it is rewarding people, you know, for using good sportsmanship. I think what's interesting about season showdown is just the different areas that are kind of covered off make games very interesting to talk about, like after you play a game, because I might play against Justin, and we might play, and he might beat me, but then I can say, yeah, man, but you ran up the score. Look, you didn't get Ohio State the points that that you could have gotten them. Or I might be able to say, yeah, you beat me, but all you did was let the CPU catch, and look at all these user points that I got for clicking on the whole game. I think that's the benefit of Season Showdown. Whether or not, something like the sportsmanship will carry over to other games, I think that's a wait and see thing. I don't think there's any way we can know for sure. It'll be an interesting experiment, though. I think we're kind of curious too, just how that kind of plays out. We don't want to come from a standpoint of telling people how to play the game, right? So if you're playing with your friend and, you guys like to run up the score, and that's fine. You just don't get the season showdown points. It's not like a big penalty or anything like that.
Rack and Justin, right. Question that I've gotten yesterday from somebody to our site, and it's kind of going on the same vein of whether these modes in NCAA will get ported over to Madden, and this is more cross-genre, but a big popular feature with Fight Night Round 3, or Fight Night this year, is that is the face builder that's built into it. And a lot of fans are wondering if that sort of technology is going to see its way over to any other EA games, particularly Madden or even the college game with the Campus Legend mode.
You never know. I mean, I think at this point, obviously we're not sharing specifics about next year's game. I think that you've seen where, this has been in, Tiger was the first one to have photo game face. Now it's in Fight Night. I think it probably matters more in a game like Tiger and in a game like Fight Night where you're actually, seeing the whole athlete and their face a lot. Where in football, you are behind a helmet. I have seen people ask about it, so I know that there's at least some interest there. Whether or not it will be in those games in the future, I'm not sure. I mean, what do you guys think? Would you want to see something like that in Madden or NCAA?
I think that the face technology would probably have to be built up, but with this being one of the first years that helmets can get knocked off players since going to the next gen, and you see some of those guys on the sidelines, I think we'd all love to see improved faces and eventually. Building in our own faces into the game. It would make those modes, a lot more immersive, I think, for a lot of fans.
All right.
Okay. Sounds good. All right. Does that yeah. Hey, I got a question for Rack. Is there any I get the game, it's July 14th. I take the game out of the box, I throw it in my Xbox, and I start playing. Is there anything going on, any kind of I know you know you guys EA is real good at different types of events to kick off, you know, new releases for games online, play certain people, do certain things. Anything special going on for NCAA that you're aware of next week?
I'm going to let Justin field this one because he's actually cooking up something pretty big for NCAA and Madden both.
Yeah. Okay, so what we're working on right now, and we'll lock down the official dates and have it available within the next couple of days to announce, but we're setting up community play dates for NCAA football and for Madden NFL 10 through Xbox Live. So we're looking to set up an event. It's going to be about 4 hours long. We're looking to have members of the dev teams, hopefully myself, Rack, some other members of our live production team, but we're looking to get on, play against the community, interact, collect their feedback and things like that, just to in general, build up the community. And we're hoping to start out with these events and build with them throughout the year. So there's definitely things like that coming in the near future. Like I said, we'll have more details posted within the next couple of days on beta.easports.com.
And the other thing is Season Showdown. You know, obviously it's our one of our big features this year. You're earning points for your school that you sign up for in every area of the game. What's cool about it is you really don't have to do anything but play the game in order to earn points. You know, play the game the way you naturally play it, whether you're playing in Dynasty or whether you're playing online. And that's going to be interesting to follow throughout the whole year. So, you know, I would say keep checking out EASports.com. You know, throughout the year, I would check out NCAAFootball.EASports.com. And you're also going to get a lot of updates within the console, you know, when you're playing. They're going to tell you about what's going on in Season Showdown and where your team's at. So I think that's something that you're going to hear about from us every single week throughout the year as that's going on. And so, you know, we have this big kickoff event, as Justin said, with the community play date, where you get to play against some of us from EA. But then, you know, also every single week throughout the season on Season Showdown, you want to keep an eye on what's going on.
That sounds great. Hey, NCAA Strategies, Operation Sports, EA Sports Fans, three major sites. Do you guys have anything going on for the NCAA release next week? If you don't, you can make something up. We don't care.
They are. One of our other blogs at EA Sports Fans, and that's the Sports Game Guy, which is Kevin Damon, are running that one. They're going to be doing, you know, an online dynasty with custom conferences coming up, and I know that they just started signups last week, and that's the same address, you know, EASportsFans.com. So, you know, for any commenters or anybody that just, you know, they hang out on the site to, you know, put in your name and get started with that.
Yeah, over at NCAA Strategies, we don't have anything real big nailed down, but we're really just working on and we're going through figuring out the best day of the week to arrange kind of community nights, kind of like what Duel was talking about. We'll just find the best nights where a lot of our community guys can go hop online and play against fellow members, just so that way when they go online, they don't have to worry about trying to find a random foe who will play the way they prefer. They can just go on and find a site member and have a big kind of just community get-together online.
CDJ, quick question. I know in the past couple of years, you have a member over there called Fluffy Bunny.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he has that that playbook finder tool that he does. Is he going to be doing that this year?
Yeah, I meant to contact him before the show. I know this year he was still kind of on the fence about it. I'm hoping, I think he was waiting to see when he would be able to find out the playbooks and the formations, whether that be in the strategy guide, in the PDF files like last year, or if he would able to, was able to get the game early. I know. I think he would like to do it, but I can't guarantee you. But I know that as soon as we find out, we're going to have that up on the site, because last year we had it out there free for everybody, and if I remember correctly, it had thousands of downloads. So it was very popular, and I know I loved it because it makes it real easy to find a playbook, because that's one of the first things I know a lot of the hardcore community does is they put the formations and plays they like, and then they want to find a playbook that has all those formations in it. Until we get custom playbooks, his playbook program is really a huge benefit for those people looking for the right playbook.
Yeah, and I think a lot more people than he thinks or you think really depend on it. So just tell him to keep the good work with that.
I will. Thanks a lot. I appreciate that. I know he'll appreciate it too. He does a great job with it.
All right.
Well, at Operation Sports, we got a few things going on over the next week, obviously. Over the next week, I'll be answering questions, writing blogs, that sort of thing, giving gamers info that we can give out. And then as we get closer to release, on release day, we'll have a review, which should be
which should be pretty lengthy, pretty in-depth, that sort of thing. And also, as far as just if you're looking for places to play the game, we're going to have, I think we have several, at least a few dozen online dynasties that are trying to form up right now. So if you're looking for an online dynasty, we probably got one for you. And otherwise, I mean, just a lot of different articles, that sort of thing going on at Operation Sports. We're just kind of chugging along.
All right.
Sounds good. Well, listen, we want to thank everybody for coming on and being so generous with their time. And, 1 week away from the drop of NCAA 10, and I think for the Madden community, it's kind of it gets us that much closer to Madden. We always use this as our warm-up game for Madden, and for the NCAA community, I mean, it's a very exciting time. And for the football video gaming community just in general, you just can't get any better than this. So we appreciate you guys all coming on, Rack and Duel from EA Sports Community Managers, and hope to get you guys back on again. Maybe we can get you on before Madden comes out, and we can talk a little Madden. And,
absolutely.
CDJ from NCAA Strategies, Chris from Operation Sports, and Mike from EA Sports Fan. I just want to thank you guys all for coming on the show, and you guys are welcome back here on the Madden Voice anytime.
Thanks.
Great.
A lot.
Hey, thank you for having me. It was great.
Yeah, it was great.
Right. It was a pleasure, guys.
Appreciate it.
All right.
Thanks for having you guys on. And Coach K, thanks for hosting that segment. Now I can get your fans off my back who want to hear you and never get to hear you. Now they'll leave me alone for a little while. All right, thanks.
All right, no problem.
Sounds good. So I hope you guys enjoyed the NCAA segment. And, the other thing for everybody to think about is we want to serve multiple purposes here. Certainly our primary focus will always be Madden. But, we did our cell phone segment a couple weeks ago, the NCAA segment tonight. You know, guys, if there's anything else that you want to hear that's either related to gaming or peripheral to gaming, drop me a line. You know, you guys know how to reach me on Twitter. We have a fan page on Facebook, on the Madden Lab, on EAFLMadden.com. Plenty of ways to reach me. Drop me a line. And tell me, hey, Commish T, I think it would be a good idea for the Madden Voices if you talked about this, that, or the other thing. We're looking to expand our horizons and not stay stagnant or stale and do some other things. Again, one of the reasons why we brought Cornstar on to help host the show.
Yes.
And in the meantime, while we wait for Bobby to come back on, and we're going to talk some Federation stuff, but in the meantime, why don't we shift to Cornstar? And Cornstar, why don't we do this? Why don't you go 10 through 6? Instead of just doing the whole 10, let's do 10 through 6 and explain everybody what this list is, your rationale and all that good stuff, and do 10 through 6.
Definitely. Okay, well, now that you guys know, I'm your new co-host of the Madden Voice, and as promised, I'm giving you, ladies and gentlemen, the top 10 Madden 09 bombs who need to prove themselves legit. Now,
can
the reason
you dig
why...
it? Can you dig it? Can you dig it?
Okay, go ahead.
Now, the reason why, I felt this list had to be made was because, as we all know, experienced Madden players, that Madden 09 was clearly the easiest and, most basic Madden game I've ever played since Madden 2001, even Game Day 98, dating back that far. This was the easiest Madden ever. And for a lot of people who kind of, showed up this year for the first time and kind of made a name for themselves, I think everyone has a question mark. And the biggest thing about this list is I'm not trying to offend anyone, don't get me wrong, but I am trying to say that these people who are on this list, as well as others who will make an honorable mention, they need to prove themselves, that they're more than just a Madden 09 one-hit wonder. Okay, they can't just be another one of those. We need to prove, or they need to really prove themselves. And without further ado, We are going to start number 10. We are starting with the one and only Sean Madden. Now, the reason why Sean Madden is the number 10 is, oh, yeah, I think it's pretty clear-cut. When he won Orlando, the Orlando Madden Challenge, people were like, who, what, who is this guy? There was even a rumor his name was Shawn Michaels. That's how bad it got. No one knew who this guy was. And I mean, people were calling this guy the Heartbreak Kid, and then only to find out his name was Sean Madden. So, no, he wasn't HBK. It would have been a lot cooler if his name was HBK, but it wasn't. So we found out that this guy, who went to Players Bowl, I believe he lost in the first in the Final 64. He lost there. But he did win a city this year, so, you know, credit to him for that. But like I said, I mean, is he going to be a good Madden 10? We will see. Sean Madden, it is time for you to prove yourself. At number 9, we have the infamous. This has caused many, many topics here at the Madden Lab. Wild conversation and not good conversation. This man, number 9, is none other than Cali's Finest. Now, not only did Cali's Finest have the audacity to block another man's field goal in a Madden Challenge championship game, but he was never heard or seen before this year. Apparently, you know, from what I've gathered, he was in some Madden 08 challenges, running around, slapping hands with people, acting a fool. But he was kind of like, you know, a guy who competed to have fun, not to win. And this year, this man, he, you know, he plays truth in the Indianapolis Madden Challenge, and he ends up winning the whole thing, but he ended up blocking the guy's field goal. So with Madden 09, or with Madden 10, there's rumored to be, you know, no playmakers, no lead block or anything of the sort. How is he going to adjust when his offense was all, you know, playmakers around against coverage defenses and stuff like that? Is he good? Does he really have dots? We'll see. Now, number 8, this is all right, before I go on to number 8, let me just say that I know a few of these people, and they're very good people. I like them a lot, but we have to expose them. Number 8 is the one and only, the group of Madden 09, the Brotherhood. We couldn't just put one of them. I had to put all of them. The entire Brotherhood, ladies and gentlemen, from Madden 09 has made the list in the top 8. Now, the reason why they're 8 is because not only could they knock out the Elite 8 tournaments, but it's not any different with this list at all. They established themselves in Madden 09. You know, they made a group. I guess they're a bunch of outcasts from this year who are trying to get into the scene, and, you know, they drama, I guess, is their leader. And, you know, he kind of banded the bandits together, made a home for them. But we haven't seen them before. We haven't seen any of these kids before, so we got to see what they can do. They had a pretty decent year. They did beat Young Nephew's crew in the Crew vs. Crew Challenge, which was very, you know, it was very impressive. No one was expecting them. People, whoever drew the Brotherhood, you know, it's pretty much everyone thought before going in, was pretty much drawing a bye. You know, they were wrong. So they had, you know, a pretty solid year. I think Mr. Moss performed the best out of all those guys. But we had to lump all them in together. Number 8 was the Brotherhood. Now, going to number 7, this is a guy who I never had the chance to play him or even see him play, but he was probably the most notorious player this year because of the way he played. This guy would literally get the ball and take the ball and down it at the 5-yard line on kickoffs. Why did he do that? Just so he could run 4 curls and clock you till halftime. Yes, we are talking about the one, the only, the Bears. This guy is like a Gamer Saloon legend this year. He's been racking up all kinds of money, but also racking up all kinds of hate. People hate playing him. He'll do anything to win. He'll kick the ball out of bounds. He'll take the ball at the 5-yard line just to milk you the whole game. You know, and he was pretty much the epitome of Madden 09. He was a guy who ran 4 curls every play and, you know, just made it happen. And he didn't go to any tournaments or anything. He was rumored to go to Players Bowl. He was your mama's boy, his horse, as he called him, but he didn't show up. I think that says a lot about him. But this was the year, I guess, the Bears decided to be the best online player this year on Gamer Saloon. And so he has to be on this list. People hate this guy. Now, going to number 6, let me tell all of you, it pains me to put my man on this list. He, I will make sure I wean this man and that he'll be a solid player, Madden 10, but we have an EMB member in this list. I love him to death. But Drag Racer, let's be honest here, bro. Before Madden 09, you were a kid on Madden, you were a kid on the Madden Lab who just used to post a lot and make incoherent posts that now we all love and appreciate because we all know you as Drag Racer. Before that, we didn't know who Drag Racer was. And this year, he went to the Final Four at Players Bowl. He had a great showing. He also went to the Final Four at King of the Sticks, too. I played him, and actually I beat him on in the Final Four to eventually win the championship there. And he went to very few tournaments, but when he did great. He probably had, overall, I think, the most explosive offense this year. He had a one-play touchdown play against many coverage defenses, and he, you know, he showed me personally, I kind of mentored him or whatever this year, but he showed me a lot as far as, you know, playing Madden 09 at a very highly competitive level. But, Drag, I love you. I want to make sure you do not end up being terrible Madden 10. But for now, you have to go on the list. And, T, that's what we got, 10-6 so far.
Wow.
It only gets better. You got five very important names coming up.
Wow.
That's all I can say is wow.
Right.
I mean, I wish our chat room was up, man. Our chat room is still down. They are attempting to fix it as we speak. Blog Talk Radio is working on it, but I can tell you right now, if it was up, it would be buzzing. It would be buzzing.
Really would. I'm sorry, Brotherhood, I had to put all of you on blast, but it's true. You guys were formed in Madden 09. Like I said, I like a lot of you. Frisco or Fiasco, you know you're my boy. Much love. Let's be real. I had to put you on the list. Sorry, Drama.
Well, let's see, guys. A little reset here, 10 after 10, and you can call in if you want to take Cornstar to task on his 10 through 6 list, 347-838-9525, 347-838-9525. You can certainly, I guess I'm hearing the chat room is up. The chat room is up for some people, but everyone can't get in. I, for one, cannot get in. So those of you who are in the chat room, I'm glad you guys are enjoying yourself. I can't get in. So that
I'm trying to get back in.
Yeah, there's others that can't get in as well. Check me on AOL at EAFL Commissioner, or you can send me a tweet at the Madden Voice. If you want to send a tweet message, feel free. And shortly, we will have Cornstar do 5 through 1. And I want you guys to know, I don't know who's on the list. This is not, you know, when we say that Cornstar is uncensored, we mean it. Cornstar and Coach K and I had a 10-minute just conference call just to talk about the order of events, and he did not disclose anything to myself or Coach K on that call. We know nothing. This is his list. It's his segment. And, you know, so maybe this is the time where I say the views of Cornstar do not necessarily reflect the views of the EAFL. All right. We are still waiting for Bobby Storm to call back in. We're going to give him a few more minutes and see if we can have some discussion about the Federation. I know he's working, but he did say that he would call back in. So, but I want to play a song, and I'm not, you know, this is not a music show, but because we are celebrating Michael Jackson's life, I just got wind of a song, and I got to be honest, I haven't heard the song yet, so this could just be a complete joke, but a song that was not released. That was Michael Jackson, Ice Cube, and Shaquille O'Neal, and I got
a
copy
of
it. So I want to play it now. I warn everyone, I have not heard the song yet, so this could very well be a spoof or a joke, but it could be real. I don't know. So we're gonna play it, and if it turns into a joke, I'll cut it off. So again, it's called the song is called. Let me go back to where I got this from. The song is called. Where did it go? I think it's called We Ballin' or We Be Ballin' or something along those lines. So Shaquille O'Neal, Ice Cube, Michael Jackson, maybe. Let's check it out.
I love this game. Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. We be ballin'. Everybody likes all the play. We callin'. Yo, team ballin'. We ain't stallin'. We just slammin' and jammin' like it ain't nothing. Harder than you think she oughta. Get the order to slaughter any team like that.
of y'all bruise. Better build, no excuses. Fake players, you lose. Pay my dues. The truth is whipping. We're great and nifty. Ballers making history by being great as 50. You ballers, you crazy, can't baby. Watch y'all thing. Bang on whoever, we're never the nerve and Hanks. I've been falling, shot calling. Legend of the game, playing live 98 for the fame. Ask you, do these kids want to be them? The dying is trade for, blowing up your coliseum. Where is the bitch you kill, balling full thrust. Cross over left, right, carp in the dust. What?
First from LAB Productions. Welcome to the Madden Voice.
What's going on, everybody? What's good, K? Coach?
What's going on?
Not the ranking point system, as far as I'm concerned. So it's not good at all.
And let's bring back on the line the owner of the Madden Lab, Gambino. Welcome back.
Hey, guys.
Let's see if there's anybody.
What's going on, you know?
All right. And anybody else, if you want to chime in, you call in 347-838-9525. Press 1, and I will know that you are interested in being heard. If you do not press 1, then I cannot know that you are interested in being heard. The chat is intermittent. It's working for some. It's not working for everybody. I apologize. I've already reported it to the site. They're working on it, and you know, we're just going to do the best we can without it. You can catch me on America Online at EAFL Commissioner. So today it was announced, it was released, the Federation ranking system for tournament participants and for online league participants, and the thread became what I like to call an instant classic. And as I look at it now, 341 replies, well over 3,000 views, and that's just on the Mad Lab. I know it got posted around the community, and I have not had a chance to go to the other sites to see if it was posted or to see, you know, what the feedback was. But my guess would be is that feedback around the community was pretty similar. Let's first start with Cornstar. My co-host, but a guy who I sit on the opposite in an opinion here. Cornstar, you had posted that you didn't think that online leagues should get ranking points, and that became kind of the thrust of the discussion is online leagues getting ranking points as opposed to tournaments getting ranking points. What were your thoughts on that?
Well, I kind of look at it like, I mean, the whole point of the Madden Federation is to bring people out to these tournaments to grow our community together so more people come out. And I understand that one way they want to establish that and kind of build a tighter knit was by, you know, having, I guess, some ranking points come by, you know, these four sanctioned leagues, or it might be five, I'm not sure. But the major problem I see with it, I'm not sure how you can legitimately say that an online league is worth at least 200 points compared to a tournament, because the structure and format of a league is completely different, you know, than an actual tournament. In a league, you have people who, if they're, you know, near the same skill range, the problem that lies there is that these people, you know, whoever gets the best team has a clear-cut advantage. It is, you know, a 16-game season, right? And, you know, the playoffs and so forth happen. But it is online, which, you know, it's not the same atmosphere as an offline tournament. Let's be honest with all of ourselves for a second. I love online play, too. It's also where I came from, just like many other top ballers. But let's, you know, be real. And another thing is with tournaments, you know, with tournaments you play, like, if you lose a game, you're done. Unless, you know, you buy back. But you can't buy back before the playoffs. And personally, I don't even like buybacks, so please don't try me with that. But with tournaments, you know, it's kind of like a level playing field. You have the offline atmosphere, you know, the realness of it all, if you will. And you have people, you know, picking the team they want to play. Everyone's on the same ground. And I just think that winning an offline tournament should be worth 20 times more than an online league. I mean, if it was 50 points for an online league win, I personally wouldn't have no problem, you know, with it. But there are guys out there, like, personally, these days, I'm pretty much just a tournament player. The only time I'm online is if I, you know, I'm playing with, like, Squeeze or, you know, someone from EMB just practicing my game. I don't like people seeing my game plan at all unless it's at a tournament. I don't want people to see more than, you know, they have to when they play me. And to be honest, like, a lot of people I know don't even have time to play four, you know, league games a week when they have work and you know, they're trying to get their stuff ready for, like, the Madden challenges or, you know, whatever, big tournaments ahead. So I just had a big problem with 200 ranking points coming from all leagues in general. It's nothing against any one particular league. A lot of people made it out like people just hate on EAFL. I'm not seeing why they feel that way because it's four or five leagues. I don't think any league can get that kind of point regardless. So, I mean, I don't know. I just personally disagree with it. But
It is what it is.
Okay. Well, let me.
Can I come in?
Well, you can, but I probably would be a little better suited to talk about the online league if I can.
No, go ahead. I'm sorry. I put the phone down and I caught the tail end of it.
Oh, okay. Let me just respond to Cornstar because he made some specific comments about. I just want to kind of just respond to him and then I'll bring you an LEB. But I also want to be clear, Cornstar. Have you and you know, point counterpoint or whatever you guys want to call it, have you played in an online league in the last year?
No, I have not.
Okay. All right. Now, and I think that part of the problem is we have a lot of guys talking about online leagues that haven't played in them. That haven't played in any of the sanctioned leagues that are out there. And Boza South Florida League is sanctioned. Dirty Desert League is sanctioned. The EAFL Major League is sanctioned. And I know next on the list to be sanctioned is the LEX, the LEX League of the Extraordinary. LEX League is the next league to be sanctioned. It's inevitable. They will be the fourth sanctioned league. And I think one of my problems is a lot of the guys that are making comments haven't played in any of these leagues and make a lot of assumptions on what they experience or what you would experience in those leagues. And I think guys need to kind of go and do it first. I've played in tournaments. I've played UCornstar. You know, I've played in several tournaments. I've played in New York. I've played in Philly a couple of times. And so I've gone out to the live tournaments. I've seen it. I was at Players Bowl last year the entire 18 hours, and I've experienced it firsthand. I know what's going on. And I played in my league, and I've also played in other leagues before I even started the EAFL. So my first comment to the community would be both. You know, definitely get out there. If you guys are in an online league, get out there and support your local tournament and play in it so you can see the difference. And if all you do is travel to tournaments, good for you. But join a league. I don't care what league. I really don't. If you want to join mine, that's great. If not, there's the Lex, there's Dirty Desert League, there's Boza's League, South Florida Madden Ballers, his league. So there's several leagues you can join. Each league has its own process on how you get in. Some are invite only, some are open, so you got to contact the league commissioner for specifics and if there's a fee and all that good stuff. But I'm just letting you know that the names are out there. But as far as, let's clarify the ranking system for a second, and just to be clear that an online league will get 200 ranking points, and a small tournament with 18 to 15 participants gets 100 ranking points, and this is for first place. The next level tournament that has 16 to 29 participants gets 400 points for first place, and then the next level participants, 30 to 49, the first place person will get 600. And then what is being labeled as a Division I tournament that has 50 to 64 participants would get 900. And then finally, last but not least, a major tournament. Now when we talk about major, we've got to start thinking about Players Bowl and tournaments of that level. The top winner gets 1,200 ranking points. So when you view it that way, the online league is getting 200. So it's really not the Super Bowl winner getting the same as any tournament champion. It really is not that way. So just to kind of clarify that. But the other thing to realize is that, now I can only speak about the EAFL. I can't talk about how the other leagues operate because I don't play in them, and I don't I don't know how they operate. And if Philly Ron calls in, maybe he can clarify. Because he is the one who put this whole thing together. He's the architect, and he's the driving force. It is a Madden Federation product, but Philly Ron is the man in charge of it. But in EAFL, you're right, it's four games a week, and I don't know that I buy the argument about not being able to play four games a week, simply because, I know these guys that are top players, like yourself, Cornstar, and others. You guys lab probably more than a lot of our guys play, including league games. But the other thing to realize is we draft for teams. So the top guys, the guys who win the Super Bowl, the guys who finish 13-3, 12-4, whatever, those guys are at the bottom of the list. So those guys aren't getting the Steelers, the Cowboys, the Patriots. Those guys are getting the 49ers and the Seahawks. That's what they're playing with. And the guys that finish 2-12 or 2-14 or whatever, those are the guys that are getting the Cowboys and the Patriots. So it is much more of a level playing field than you would might imagine. Unlike when you go to a tournament and you play Dynasty, and Dynasty's playing with the Cowboys, or everybody's playing with the Cowboys. So it is more of a level playing field by the fact that the guy with the most talent is forced to play with a lesser team. Now, that's how we do it. I cannot say how everybody else does it, but that's how we do it. And the other thing to think about is a 16-game schedule. We've had guys come and go for 4 years, and I can tell you that it is not easy to finish your 16 games because a lot of guys, they get discouraged when they start losing. So, you know, once they get discouraged, they tend to slack off and stop playing. We see it season after season. But once you get through that 16 games and you're playing guys that go out and play in tournaments, you know, our guys are tough. These guys are the same guys you're going to see at tournaments. And then you have to go through the playoffs. And ultimately, you've got to win 19 games to win one Super Bowl. And, you know, or play 19 games and win 14 or 15 or 16. That is why in 4 years, I think Coach K can correct me if I'm wrong, maybe two back-to-back champions in 4 years of gameplay. It is just not likely. And then on top of it, you know, it's guys come and guys go. Guys come in, they can't handle it, they leave. So the level of competition is very, very stiff. A lot of the same guys that you'll see at the tournaments. And the fact that the way we level the playing field by giving the better talent lesser draft picks so they're forced to play with lesser teams means that it's not going to be that easy for a problem who does want to join the AFL, and we'll welcome him. But it's not going to be that easy if problem can't go in with his team and his scheme like he can in the tournament. And that's what you see when you go to the tournaments. See the guys coming in, you know, and they've read Cornstar's ebook on Mad Lab, and, you know, they're going to use that team, and they're going to play, you know, four, five, six straight games with the same team in the same scheme. Now, I'm not saying that that's easy either, but I think until you've done it, I think you truly underestimate the rigors of playing 16 games and competing game after game. And guys will see your scheme. You're absolutely right. And word gets around. Cornstar's doing this. Coach K's doing that. You know, Commish T is doing this. And guys adjust. You play three guys twice a year. Trust me, when you got to go back and play them a second time, they know what you're coming with. And they're going to change what they're doing to adjust how you may have beat them the first game. So I think that what guys have to really do is come out and give it a try. Join a league. Join a good competitive league. Play a season. Then come back and tell me that the winner of that Super Bowl doesn't deserve ranking points. That's if you've made it through that season.
Well, Kamish, as far as me playing a league, actually in Madden 07, when I first hit the tournament scene, the very first thing I did was join Swami's league. I can't remember the name for the life of me, but he did a weekly radio show for it and, you know, stuff of that nature. I ended
PFL.
Up being the Bears. What was it?
PFL, wasn't it?
Yeah, that's right. It was PFL. And I went, you know, 16-0 with the Bears, whatever. But, I mean, this is your one league you're talking about. You got to remember, if they have every single league 200 points, they kind of need to have regulations in every single league as to kind of what you're doing with. If you finish, like, in Super Bowl, you should have, you know, the last pick in next year's draft. Because right now it's an unbalanced playing field, which league you get. People might try to join a certain league because, you know, there's rules are less likely to be enforced, or there's not, like, you know, like, well, you guys have set standards or whatever you guys do. And until that happens, I don't understand how you can get 200 points out for a league. And, again, like, you know, leagues are great. Like, I have no problem with that. I was in one before. I did very well. And but they are time-consuming. I mean, like, for instance, you guys say you do for, you know, for a week. It's not just that it may be, like, me personally, yeah, I'll play a bunch of games one day when a game first comes out. I'll be labbing, doing all that kind of stuff. You still have to reach out to your opponent, and in this case, multiple opponents start a week. Try to schedule a time that's good for you when you're working, whatever, and try to get it in. And that can be sometimes, you know, a bit of a headache, whereas opposed to me, like, I could do labbing my own personal time and everything. And as far as, you know, teams go, it's still at the end of the day, if you do win the Super Bowl and you, you know, finish with, say, the next year you get the Browns, who's to say that, I mean, how is that even fair to that guy also in the same, in retrospect, how is that fair to him? But if you had 32 people, like, you know, you guys had the majors in EAFL, my assumption is pretty much you guys are all close in talent. The 32 there are pretty much all solid ballers, correct?
Well, I mean, that's hard to say. I don't know. I think we have. I mean, I think I'm, you know, I'm on the bottom third of that list myself. You know, we had Jade Bev won 3 Super Bowls last year and also did very well in the tournament scene, you know, including the Philly Madden Challenge. And I'd say, I mean, I can't speak for other leagues, but I'd say, you know, we've got our 5 or 6 real tough guys. You know, and we have our second tier of guys that could on any given day beat anybody. And then, you know, you have the bottom guys that are just trying to struggle, you know, trying to get an identity and trying to figure out how to win.
Right. Well, okay, I'm going to take J-Bet, for instance. He won 3 Super Bowls last year.
Yep.
That equivalent now would be 600 points, if my math serves me correct. I'm terrible at math. Yeah, that's 600 points, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
How is that fair to, like, you know, a guy who goes out and wins one of those 30 to 49 participant tournaments, and I just don't understand how you can sit here and say, J-Bev, while you won 3 leagues, you know, 3 leagues in one season, you have 600 points. And, hey, secret, you just won this big tournament, but you got just as many points as this guy's been playing online.
Well,
because when
well,
you look,
when you want to answer to that question,
yeah,
because that one tournament is one day, and J-Bev's it's gonna take J-Bev almost 4 months to get what Secret went and did in that one tournament in one day.
Yeah, but you also have to remember, I think winning a tournament would be more of an accomplishment than winning a league because you said you guys have played 4 games a week. But if you play 4 games a week, I mean, it takes a month to get it done? I mean, I don't know. I'm just saying, like, the atmosphere, again, is completely different. I mean, for instance, J-Bev, he won 3 last year. That's a pretty good number. I believe I was looking up the ranking system earlier. Obviously, it was different last year, but I remember some people in the top 10 to even have 600 points. Again, I'm not sure how the points were done last year, but
no, points were done differently last year, so that's not a fair,
right.
A fair comparison. Let's give LAB some air time. I cut him off earlier, so
nah, it's cool. K Simon, I'm glad you actually are the co-host, and I'm glad you actually bring a different perspective to this, and you came at the best possible time. Like Commissioner T said, that thread turned into a classic, and I'm not a thread guy myself. But I think I put more posts in that thread than I did across the whole TML. And I'm in the EFL, so I post a lot in the EFL also. But my perspective, I'm a tournament director. I like to play the game. I traveled to tournaments this year, and this also was my first year as far as playing in the EFL. The thing is, we tried to make it so – can you hear me?
Yep.
Yeah. All right. We tried to make it so that – the leagues aren't as good. I mean, you don't get as many points, but you still get some recognition. And we're trying to merge the two worlds. It seems like the online world and the tourney world don't want to have anything to do with each other. If we throw these points out there, it gives both sides a chance to actually meet. Because, I mean, I met a lot of you guys for the first time. You might not know who it was, but I met a lot of you guys for the first time, and that's because I made the trips to Harrisburg, to KLC, KLTC, to Players Bowl, and so forth and so forth. But our guys in the EFL, I mean, they go to 22. I mean, I had EFL come to my second event. I had guys from Chicago. I had guys from Jersey. So for a lot of people to say that the online – league shouldn't even get 200 points, it's kind of harsh because, I mean, we travel and we also put in the time and service in regards to competing in the EFL majors.
Good. Was there more? Or... Elijah, I think we lost him. Okay. Yeah, I mean, I think the problem with the conversation is, I think what makes it difficult is that, you know, you haven't. Okay, wait a minute. Here's Elijah coming back on. Let him finish his thought. Elijah.
Yeah, I'm sorry about that, guys. My service is the worst. I know I was all over the place, but I'm back on track. The thing is, with the online leagues and the tournament scenes, it's going to be a lot of good. There's going to be a lot of bad on both ends. And what we're trying to get everybody to understand is that this is the first year that we're doing this. So there's going to be Twinkie going on throughout the whole thing. And y'all got to understand, last year, the Madden Challenge got way more points than the regular tournaments. I mean, we had to get damn near 60 to 75 people to even come close to the Madden Challenge. And I understand the Madden Challenge, y'all playing for a huge prize, but they're two-minute quarters compared to when these tournaments, these underground tournaments, as you say, played four-minute quarters, some five-minute quarters. So, I mean, it was unfair there. If you won a regional, you was damn near guaranteed to be in the top 10, regardless how many underground tournaments you went to. The way we tried to tweak the whole system is to make it so that people can play online, and if they do play online, they will not win Player of the Year just by playing online. You can win every Super Bowl, and it's like 7 to 8 Super Bowls before the season is done, and you will only have, if you win every Super Bowl, you only have 1,400 to 1,600 points. You win one major, you already crushed that. So I just want all y'all guys to take in perspective that there was unfair stuff last year in regards to the point system. There's going to be a little bit of unfair stuff this year, but it's a work in progress. We're definitely moving into a direction to be, if not perfect, damn near perfect.
Well, Elijah, as I'm looking at it, I mean, like I'm looking right here, majors were 1,200. Obviously it's going to be very hard and probably even rare, and probably it won't happen. I'm not saying it will. For someone to win, you know, 5, 6 Super Bowls, whatever. But the fact of the matter is someone did win 3 Super Bowls last year and got, you know, it'd be equivalent to 600 points this year. And that's the same as a pretty big tournament. And I guess I disagree with that thought process because, you know, first of all, it's hard to compare tournaments and leagues because the formats are two different entities. They really are. I just don't understand how they can really coexist in that same kind of process because the format is completely different, the way you game plan, the teams you use, like all that stuff, it completely changes. And of course, the atmosphere online, offline. Now, I understand that you guys want to bring, you know, online players and tournament players together. I have no problem with online players.
Everybody should want to do that.
Yeah.
That's not just.
I agree. I agree. People should do that, but I mean, I don't know if I agree with 200 points for me. I mean, if it was 100, I think it'd be more acceptable to other people who go out to all these tournaments and everything because.
But we're playing the same game though. I don't understand, man. I mean, you're saying You're saying, let me talk for a second. You're saying that it's a different. You're acting like we're playing two different games when we're playing in a tournament and you're playing elite. You know, you're playing a tournament. You can milk someone to death. You know what I'm saying? Everyone's using the same good teams. Like, I don't understand what skill or strategy you really have to have behind that. There's more strategy that goes on to doing a whole season, having to deal with people in your division, wondering who you're going to draft. I mean, it's just more of a grind. And if that was the case, if we use the same analogy in other sports, then we would say that, okay, only the playoffs count. All leagues just become playoffs. You know, I mean, and it's just a thing where people are competing. You know, this is a chance where the people in the online leagues can be introduced to tournament play, and, you know, this is a way to introduce them to, you know, for them to come into tournaments, for them to be exposed to that world. I mean, can you give me another alternative as to how more people can be introduced to tournament play? I mean, you've seen more and more people come out to these tournaments because they're exposed to playing online. So can you give me another alternative? I mean, the old way was not working.
I'm not really going to come on the old way. It's neither here nor there. But as far as my problem is 200 points, I think if they lowered it a little bit, it wouldn't be that big of a deal. I think people just kind of looked at 200 and said, holy shit. A lot of points.
It was 200 last year.
Because people in the top 10 last year, some like had less than 500. If you have someone who won a couple tournaments,
Play in leagues or make it out of tournaments.
You gotta let them finish, Kay. All right.
If there was people last year who had 200 points for winning the league, okay, then again, Jay Bev would have been the top 10 player of the year award last year. Because I was looking at it the other day, I was looking at actually literally today, and there are people who
had about 500, you know, who barely cracked the top 10. So, I mean, you're pretty much saying that he had a better year than, like, a little man or,
yeah.
or you know, someone of that nature. Like, I disagree with that thought process because at the end of the day, it's more about bringing people out to these tournaments. And JBev goes to a lot of tournaments. I see him all the time. It's a great thing. But I guess when it comes down to someone trying to get the number one spot for player of the year, I think it's just a little ridiculous if, like, someone who has a little more time in their hands to play in 1,000 leagues or whatever can go ahead and do that.
Then what about the guy that wins one Madden Challenge last year and you got, like, 800 points for, or 500 points for that? So, I mean, just because he traveled to one Madden Challenge and won that Madden Challenge, he doesn't have to go to any more tournaments for the rest of the year because he got enough points. And it wasn't no Player of the Year award. There was no cash prize. But the fact that that Madden Challenge has put him up in that top tier. The thing is, we have to not look at that tier because, for one, it's an entirely different system that's going on this year. I mean, if the EAFL or the LEX was a tournament, we got 32 players. We will automatically fall into that 20-something to 30-something players. And in actuality, we are a league, so our points are sliced in half. So, I mean, I understand your gripe, and I understand what you're basing it off of, but the thing is we're trying to move past that because a lot of the online guys and a lot of even the little mans, a lot of them could argue, well, I didn't win a Madden Challenge last year, but I went to all these tournaments. And we're just trying to give opportunity to the guys that aren't placed in Jersey or the guys that aren't placed in Big City or the guys that aren't placed in Philly the opportunity to gain some type of recognition. We know that if you play online leagues and expect to get recognition, you're not going to win the Player of the Year. So, I mean, a lot of the tournament guys can get that out the head. That person is not messing with your money. They're just getting some recognition so everybody else around the community can understand, well, this online guy is tough because he won the LEX Super Bowl 2 times, so he got 400 points off of that. It's just a recognition thing. The Player of the Year is going to go to whoever makes it out to the most tournaments. Plain and simple.
Yeah, and I also want to just remind the whole point, the whole concept behind this, and I'm now speaking on behalf of Philly Ron, and hopefully I can do his words justice, but is an assimilation of the entire online community with the tournament community and really trying to bridge that gap. You know, I think, yeah, nothing against Little Man. I like Little Man. He's been on the show. But, yeah, I'd say JBev had a better year than Little Man. I would say that. I'd say that hands down. I'd say he had a better year than Little Man. That's my opinion. You know, I would say that. And I would put, I'm not a betting man. Everybody knows that. But pound for pound, I would take JBev over Little Man head up. And again, you know, straight up, I would, you know, and that's Madden 09 back when they were both in their peak. I just, you know, when you play in the trenches with these guys day in and day out, you know, versus seeing a guy 3 or 4 times at a tournament, I'm going to tell you something. You guys sit back and down what goes on in these leagues. I want to see you guys come into my league or the Lex League any of these leagues. I just want to see it. I want to see you guys, Cornstar, you included. You know, you're my man, 20 grand, and my co-host, man. But I want to see you guys because I've gone to your world. I've done your thing. I played your game. My guys, we had 22 guys at Players Bowl. My guys come out. They don't just sit at home on their couch and play league games. My guys travel to these tournaments, and they compete, and they play in the league. I want to see, and I've been saying this since we started the Madden Boys on March 29th of 08. The door is open to any of the top tournament guys that want to come and join the EAFL. Let me see what you got. Now, you guys come in and go 19-0, then maybe I'll come to your side of it and say, okay, wow, you made that look real easy. But I know that's not going to happen.
See, with all due respect, I completely disagree with you assessing that JBev had a better year than, like, a Little Man. I think a Little Man won, like, 3 or 4 tournaments, and to me that's much more respectful than winning an online league because when you go to tournaments, you have the best of the best there. You have, you know, these guys who, you know, keep their stuff offline to hit you with this at the tournaments. For instance, King of the Sticks, JBev was there, Lil Man was there, Lil Man made the championship game. I don't even think, you know, JBev made the playoffs. And for him to be, like, get 600 points for winning 3 Super Bowls, that would have propelled him in the top 10. And I just disagree with the assessment that JBev was, like, 8th or 7th best player of the year last year. I just,
I mean, obviously.
J-Bev wasn't in the top 10, though. J-Bev, if you look at the ranking list right now, you see him ranked at number 30.
No, right. I'm talking about with the
current. How's he in the top 10?
No one's saying he's in the top 10. People are saying that with the current system in place, if you were, because someone had said to me that 200 points, you know, for winning a league, someone had said to me that was the same as it was last year.
K-Star. I'm not, you know, I'm kind of taking a neutral stance on this whole issue, but I just want to point one thing out to you. See, if you're adjusting J-Bev's scores for the new ranking system or his total points, you have to adjust the other guys. So on either scale, J-Bev ends up, you know, 30th. You know, you're not adjusting the tournament guys to up their points for what they did. You're only adjusting J-Bev's.
In all actuality, the tournament guys that's in the top 10 will be skyrocketed past J-Bev. Whoever won Players Bowl will have way more points than they did last year. So, I mean.
So is Mad Nation fair? Because people got points for Mad Nation. So is that fair?
I didn't get invited to Mad Nation.
No, I don't think that way Mad Nation said was really a true competitive, you know, tournament environment with a lot of what went down. Dynasty to play a quadrillion games. We were given random teams. Like, I mean, I kind of can disagree with that. But then again, winning Mad Nation is pretty big achievement in itself. So, I mean, it goes both ways.
I just want to bring this back to the beginning of saying that what this is a way. I mean, this is a spirited debate. No hatred here at all. No hate. You know, little man, no hatred at all. I have a right to my opinion, and I stand by my opinion. But you know, again, the idea is to bring together this community, and one of the things that's been debated long before, well, maybe not that long before, but that's been debated since 2004 is, you know, who's the better player, you know, the online player or the tournament player. Certainly tournament players feel like they're better. They bring into, you know, the live game and, the, you know, the different strategy and two-minute quarters and all that. But I'll tell you, you know, over the last 2 years, I think the tournament – the online league of the better online leagues, not just any online league, can certainly make a claim that, you know, a guy that comes through and wins a Super Bowl is a pretty solid player in this community too. And we've seen guys that come through and can do both. They can go into a league and win a Super Bowl and can go out to a tournament and do very well. We've seen that happen. And the only thing I'm saying is, everybody out there that is saying it's too many points and this and that, it's hard for me to really hear you until you actually come and do it. I've done your thing, you know. I'm older than most of you guys, and I've traveled to the tournaments and I've done your thing, so I know what you guys do. But can you come do my thing? And until you do it, it's really hard for me to sit here and listen and say, well, maybe you're right. Maybe there's a point to it. Come do it. Come play a season. You know, but then I hear Cornstar saying, well, you know, I don't have the time and, you know, this, that, and the other. Well, okay. So now you're understanding the commitment that it takes for a guy to win a Super Bowl. It's not just going to a tournament for one day and walking away with 400, 600, 800 or Players Bowl, 1,200 points. There's a huge time commitment involved in this. There's a lot involved in winning a Super Bowl in a league. And I just want everybody to not be so quick to down a Super Bowl champion from one of these sanctioned leagues unless you've played in that league and can honestly say, ah, that league is sorry. You know, if you can say that, okay, fine. But until you do it, it's really, really hard for us to hear that. All right, let's see if we have any calls on. I got a few calls. I got a few people calling in and want to chime in on this conversation. So let's bring them in. We have a 617 area code. Welcome to the Madden Voice.
What's up, T? What's up, K-Star? What's up, LAV? It's RG.
What's up, RG?
What's going on, RG?
RG is Bundy. Welcome to the show.
What's up, guys? I just want to say I see where both of you guys are coming from, and I agree with both of you, and I think what K-Star is mainly worried about, it sounds like, is if not giving points to the guys that win the league, but somebody just, like you said, you have eight leagues winning four or so Super Bowls, and then pretty much maybe being able to hide behind that. So I think a good idea is definitely for the first Super Bowl, definitely give the points 200 points. But once, say, a guy starts repeating and it starts getting out of control, maybe a second Super Bowl could be worth 100 points. third. So you could even wait till after back-to-back, give them a chance to win back-to-back, 200 points, 200 points. And then after that, you got to cut it down to, hey, if you win the Super Bowl.
Well, and let me be clear, even though we have nine leagues, only one is sanctioned. So we only there's only one league sanctioned. One of the requirements or one of the limitations that Ron put into effect when he started this a year ago was only one sanctioned league per organization. So I could have 100 leagues, but only one of them would be sanctioned. So we run 9 to 10 seasons in a year. So, you know, that's it. That's all you got. You got 9 or 10 chances to get some points, and then that's all you're going to get. So just to kind of clarify that.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I mean. And I think what you guys are doing is a great idea, and I think the only thing that guys are worried about is if somebody – Like you said, until they go in there and prove you wrong, but say somebody like a problem goes into the league and he does run amok and then just goes 16-0 consecutively, there should be a safety system just in case it works out like that to make sure that a player can't hide behind the online league point system just to kind of make his way up to the number one spot, if you see what I'm saying. Just
right.
Maybe tone it down after a certain amount of times. You know what
right.
I mean?
And I think in theory, what you're saying makes sense. I guess until I see it.
Oh, no.
I haven't seen it. I mean, JBev won 3 last year. That is unusual, to be honest with you. But it happened first time in 4 years that we've had a guy win 3 in 1 year, so it doesn't happen normally. And I know it doesn't happen over in the Lex. I talked to the Grand Champion. I know it doesn't happen over there. So I just think it's not usual, but I see that point. If you had a guy like a problem or a dynasty or someone coming through and rack it up on points, could it lead to a problem? I don't think so, but I mean anything's possible. Thanks for calling in.
Okay, RG.
Let me also bring in one of the architects of the system here, NJ Rod, member of the Federation, King of the Couch Tournament Director, and a guy who's put a lot of time and energy into this as well. Welcome to the Mad Voice.
Hey, what's going on, fellas?
What's going on, Ron?
What's going on? Interesting conversation, man. But you know, we got to interject some rationale into this, and I want to just throw a couple things at you. An online guy gets 200 points for when it's going to take that guy. It's going to take the guy 1 month to get to achieve that. All right. One of the things that we're missing out on this, and maybe it's because we haven't really explained it deeply, is you look on the bottom of the ranking system, where it says payout and bonus points. Every time that person wins a tournament, not only are they going to get their 600 points, 900 points. Depending on what the payout of that tournament is, you're going to get those extra points. So hypothetically, just say for instance somebody got a 600 pointer. You know, that's my range is like probably going to be around 900 points. That's what I'm looking for this year, 900 to 1200 points per tournament that you have at the KOTC. So you throw out 900 points, then you just say they win another 100 for a $1,000 payout. You're talking 1,000 points. It's going to take an online guy 5 season victories, and that's going to take him about 4 or 5 months to do that, to achieve what's going to be achieved in one King of the Couch tournament. Now, I'm using – now, with that rationale, it's going to take that guy half a year. You're talking – if we start in August, September, October, November, it'll take him by December to get up to those type of points where this one guy is going to get to 900 at one point. On August 29th, there's going to be at least 900 points in my tournament. At big cities, well, you know, we're going to see what happens with that. But, you know, we'll use an example, A1's tournament, T-Boy's tournament. There's going to be so many points out there where an online guy is going to take him December to catch up from there. So the point is we wanted to include the online guys. But at the same time, they're going to have to hit the pavement. They can't do it alone. People are actually thinking that these guys can just sit home and get all these points. Basically, it's not possible. I don't want to say impossible, but it's very, very rare. And history shows there hasn't been a champion that has run off 6 or 7 championships in a row in the history of online, you know, things that Lex has been doing, that Coach K and these guys have been doing. It hasn't been done yet. It's a precedent that hasn't happened. So So as far as, you know, and I'm a tournament guy. I'm a tournament director. This is what I believe in. I don't even play in online leagues. But I have to recognize fairness, and what we're trying to do is bring these guys out. Now, with this model, you know, you guys talk about guarantees and sponsors and this and that. It will lead to this, because now these online guys are going to get a taste. And they're going to say, and last year I had a big-time EAFL following that started coming to my tournaments. And, you know, players will, huh? Say it again.
Same here. This is Biz. Yeah. Same here.
Yes, and it's starting to get, it's getting more and more. So the object of this, like a guy like Cornstar is going to get his share of points and stuff anyway. And another thing that was brought up is, you know, some guys can't get out to, if you live in Tennessee or Nevada or something, you may not be able to get out to a tournament because we don't have stuff out there yet. This is a way for those guys to get on. So, in, as a whole, we're trying to bring all these guys in. And guys, and Cornstar, I'm just telling you right now, you don't have to worry about that online guy. He ain't going to be your problem. It's going to be the guys like Little Man that are going to be tearing up these tournaments, getting 900 a pop. That's the guy that's the worry. The dude that's sitting around getting these 200s, that's a nice little something on top of the cake, blah, blah, blah. But if you think that you're going to get player of the year by sitting home getting 200, it ain't going to happen. Plus, the bonus points on the bottom, you know, you win Players Bowl, you're talking 1,200 plus 300, you're talking 1,500 points. This dude could play online from now to 2015 and not get those points. You see what I'm saying? So that's what we're getting about. And this is all about, we're all trying to achieve the same thing. And I understand what Cornstar is saying and the tournament guys, blah, 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 but that's not their fear. Their fear is going to be these guys lining up 50, 60 deep. And when the word gets out, yo, if we get an extra, you know, 10 guys, Rod, you know, you're averaging 50-something. We get over the 64 mark, now we're getting 1,200 points. That's going to be the thing. These guys are going to be coming out to these tournaments in large numbers because of this. So I think that's the main thing. But I feel what you're saying, Cornstar, but I don't think you have to worry. I think there's no worry. This is a little icing on the cake, and it's designed to bring more people in.
Well, one quick question I have. I heard a few different things anyway. If you join a league, you only be in one league, right? You can't join all four of the sanctions?
There will not be an abuse here. Like, this is not really my area of expertise. Philly Ron, Commissioner T, those guys are experts on the league thing. But, no, there will be no foul play. We're going to make sure that there is nobody or a chance for someone to rape the system or something like that. We're going to keep a keen eye on that.
Last year that was the case. Now this year, to be honest, there are EAFL guys in the Lex. Lex is entering in as a sanctioned league. I'm safe to say that myself, Ron, Grand Champion, will probably sit down and take a look at this to prevent
absolutely
that from happening, because NJ Rod is absolutely right. Under no circumstances do you want anybody, and I'm sure Grand Champion, and I know Philly Ron feels the same way, and I hate to keep saying the Grand Champion so many times when he's not on the show, but I've talked to him enough where I feel comfortable saying I'm sure he wouldn't want any abuse of any system either.
Yeah, of course, sir. What we're trying to do is make this thing grow. You know what I'm saying? And we believe with just introducing different people, and there's a lot of guys, and as you all know, there's a lot of guys playing online, man, a lot of guys. And some of them are they're not comfortable or this or that, but if you give a guy a little taste, you know what I'm saying, next thing he's going to do, he's going to want that. And with the sanctioning points, we listened to you guys, what you guys said about the sanctioning points for non-sanctioned points for tournaments and everything. Basically, anybody that throws a tournament in this country that reaches out to the Federation will get some type of points, even if they're not sanctioned by us. But it's going to be a taste, you know what I'm saying? It's going to be a taste. You may have to win 100 of those tournaments to get the big picture, but it's going to be a taste. And that's how you do. That's how you get growth. You got to give somebody a little something where they can get, you know, that taste of it and say, you know what, I want more. And what's going to happen, Cornstar, is these guys that are playing on this online stuff, next thing you know, they're going to come 10 and 15 deep at Big City or wherever they're going, because now they want a taste. Look, man, we want a piece of this. It's going to draw them out. That's the goal. The goal. And ultimately, the top players are going to be the ones that are going to benefit from it if they can stay on top, because there's a lot of hungry guys out there.
Hey, let me bring in another tournament baller. I've been told that this is the killer one. Is that you? 512 area code?
Yeah, that's me, the killer one, Madden King Roy, SJR, bro, whatever you want to call me today.
Well, this guy got like 10 names, do it.
Yeah, I don't really care, but I'm
Are you good, Joe? Are you good?
Yeah, I'm pretty good. You can ask K-Star.
Oh my God.
I'm not taking any shots. You're good, man. We were 1-on-1. But I want to get on the subject here about the Madden Federation points. I mean, I'm an online dude. I still consider myself an online dude. I don't really travel too much. But from what I've seen in tournaments as compared to online, like whoever said J-Bev over Lil Man, I mean, come on, man. That's,
yeah, I said that. That
I love Lil Man 10 times out of 10 in that just because he is tournament tested. And that the difference between the league and a tournament is a tournament, you go in there and you hear you got Pop versus Secret coming up next, and everybody gets hyped. Everyone wants to see that game. You got K-Star versus Truth. You got big names out there. And, I mean, I got guys from EAFL telling me, like, I don't think really that tough to be, you know, I got a couple, I'm not going to say names, but I got some guys saying, wow, that he actually said J-Biff over Dillman. And those were guys in the EAFL. I mean, when you got your own dude telling me that they don't feel like they're ready to compete at that level, I don't think 200 points is a... Maybe 100 points. Give him 100 points.
You know, let me just clarify. Just to clarify something. I said it. I stand behind it. Okay. I'm not backing away from my statement. J-Bev is I think J-Bev is more tournament tested, frankly, than Lil Man. I think he's participated in more tournaments.
And the Killer One.
What? Come on.
Let me clarify. And let me also say this. Because you say guys in the EFL, remember we have 9 leagues. We have 300 guys in our leagues. Okay, so there's a lot of guys that walk around say they're in the EAFL, and I appreciate that. We love the respect, but there's 300 guys out there active in the EAFL, another 200 or 300 that have passed through the EAFL. So just to clarify how large we are, you're not necessarily talking about the guys that are in our major league, our top guys. Just to clarify that. But yeah,
and
I stand behind my statement.
And definitely, Coach. And Nikhil, when I'm glad this is Biz, I'm glad you brought that up. Because if I'm not mistaken, the EAFL guy, Casper, took out last year's Players Bowl winner and the year before that Players Bowl winner, 2-time. And the people he took out was Kid Josh and The Problem, a EAFL representative. And if I had guys from the EAFL that came to my tournament, shout-outs to Bama, shout-outs to Titan, and Vince also, they played against guys that go to hundreds of tournaments, Steve-O from EMB. Dante from EMB came to my events, and they played against the EFL guys. And for to say that Little Man is better than J-Bev just because he hit more tournaments, that is unfair. Until they play five out of five games, and we determine a winner, we will never be able to say that. But a lot of guys.
Where does J-Bev live? Where does J-Bev live?
He lives in Ohio.
He's been to quite a few tournaments this year. I disagree with T, but. His opinion. He's been to quite a few. I've seen him miss the playoffs, but
I definitely understand your tournament, guys. But the thing is, the EFL has talent, yo. It definitely has.
Oh yeah. We know you have talent. Now they got to start coming out. But once they start coming out, we're gonna this question is gonna be answered this year, because these online guys are gonna start coming out. You know what I'm saying? So we're gonna really see. You know, we're gonna really see. But you know, when we were formulating this list, and that's why there's a big imbalance, because we do recognize what Cornstar is saying. It's a different atmosphere. So we recognize that. That's why there's an imbalance in the amount of points. So, but there is something to be said with a guy that can sit back and play these 16 games and this and that and go through Super Bowls and play. That takes a whole different thing in itself. So, like, you know, there's going to be a lot of opportunities for guys to – so we can finally meet and get these games in. And this you know, this scale and the enthusiasm that was behind that post is like, what, 3,000 looks in like a few hours? It's incredible.
Yeah.
People, this means something to guys. This means something. And this is what we need to ignite this community, to get it on fire. This Halo stuff has the same thing. Halo, trust me, in the Halo community, it's the same thing. You got the online guys versus the guys that play on LAN. The LAN doesn't have lag. There's no glitches. So there's a big – the same argument goes on in the Halo community. And the only way they settle it, they come to my events, then they play right there. Oh, you're an online guy. A lot of guys, because there's a different feeling. I don't know if you guys ever played Halo, but when you're online, like whoever's the host has a timing advantage and this and that. So these guys settle over their differences. They finally got to meet up. So this is what we're talking about. There's going to be a lot of stuff around the country, a lot of different opportunities. If J-Bev's in Ohio, the Little Man, like they're going to meet up. So this is going to be answered. So I like the excitement. I like what's going on. And I think this is going to be overall very good for the community and top ballers are going to benefit from this, and somebody's going to walk away with a nice piece of change at the end of this year, because this battle for these points is going to be intense.
Definitely.
Yo, but can I add something else up in there?
Yeah.
All right. Now, y'all, I know you're saying that the EAFL, you want to get them their points so they can come out to the tournament. Am I right?
All right.
You want to give them a little taste so they can go out and become part of the bigger community.
I've seen them do it. I've seen them do it, and I've seen them do it with success. So
yeah,
I got
respect for all the online dudes. I love my online dudes, but the thing is that the level of competition, like in a tournament, is nowhere. The EAFL league compared to a tournament, the level of competition is just so drastic. I mean, if you want your guys to get out there, why not? You got 9 seasons.
But how could you say that if you haven't played in a league, though? People that played in a league that go to a tournament have a better gauge of what the competition is because they've been in both worlds. For you guys that haven't played in tournaments to say that the level in leagues is not good, if you've never been in it,
no one.
Like, what point of reference are you talking from? And not opinion. It got to be from experience, though.
I don't think
my experience.
No one is good. Go ahead, Killer One. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I've been in a couple of leagues, like a bunch of like casual leagues, like nothing too major. And the competition is so horrible. I would blow guys out 56-0, 70-14, and I stopped messing with leagues after that. I mean, I know some guys in EAFL got some skill. I saw them out at Players Bowl. I've seen them show up at tournaments. But to say that EAFL is on the same level as a tournament to where you can give them 200 points for a season.
Can I interrupt there? See, that's where you're straight up wrong. We're saying that a tournament guy may get 800, 900 to that 200. You're talking about 4 to 5 times more. We are recognizing what you are saying. So you're talking.
You got a guy winning three seasons, though. You win 3 seasons. That's 600 points.
You're being unrealistic. You're being unrealistic because Little Man, for instance, Little Man run 4 of my tournaments, all right, at on the average 600 a pop. That's 2,400 points. 2,400 points if Little Man, if we would have went by this scale based on what Little Man did at KLTC alone last year, all right? 2,400 points compared to JBev's 600 based on what you're talking about. It doesn't compare. The only way JBev is going to get those points is he has to go out. So we're in agreement with what you're saying.
Lil Man kind of ran the tournament. See, I'm going to stand up for Lil Man here. I said he was the best baller out there this year as far as tournaments. I think he had the most tournament wins than anybody out there. He would have been number one. Maybe Dynasty would have been number one. But after him and Dynasty and Lil Man, there's only a select number of people that actually won a couple tournaments. And JBev would have been higher than everyone besides Lil Man.
No.
Well, that's not true. One thing that this is turning into is, and I appreciate it because we love the love, but this is not about the EAFL. This is about
online league.
Good, solid online league. The EAFL is one out of 3 sanctioned leagues, soon to be 4. You've heard me mention the Lex League. Heck, as my competition, I've given it more advertisement on the show than my own league. Moses, South Madden, Florida Ballers League, and the Dirty Desert Leagues. We all compete for top ballers here. I'm giving these guys some love because we're all in this sanctioning thing together. This is not about the EAFL. We have one out of a soon-to-be 4 sanctioned league. All that is being said is a way to get points is to join this league and win the Super Bowl. And as Ron explained, and I explained at the very beginning, it's 200 points. It's not the same as going to a tournament that has 50, 60, 70 people. It's not the same. You'd have to win the Super Bowl 3-4 times to get what you're going to get with one of those tournaments. So
all right, can I interrupt you in there? All right, but I'm looking at your League Daddy website. You got 8 seasons, and 5 of those you had 2 winners. I mean, one guy with 2 wins and one guy with 3 wins. So 5 of the 8 seasons were won by 2 guys alone. That's more than 200 points, and the 600 that would have been won by the guy that won 3 would have put him in the top 10.
No, it wouldn't. Please let me address this, guys. Please let me address this, guys. This is what you need to understand, young man, that this is what you don't understand. You have to relate, just like Gambino said, you have to give the points in relative to both people, okay? You're giving – all right, let's just go by this. Just look at our chart right here. If, according to this chart, Little Man would have gotten 2,400 points from KOTC alone, plus the other ones that he won from Harrisburg, so that's up to 3,200 points that he would have had alone just from being on the East Coast. this, if you take JBev's three tournament wins, whatever, according to this scale, he would have had 600 versus 3,200. What you're doing is you're taking the 3,200, I mean the 600, but you're not adjusting what the tournament guys are getting. You're not adjusting that 32. So basically what I'm trying to tell you, and this is what you guys must understand, and if you take out a calculator, you'll see it. The only way that an online guy can be a player of the year, he better win at least three or four tournaments. That's the only way. Because it's impossible, mathematically, it's impossible to accumulate those type of points. I don't care how many leagues you win. You can't do it.
And I definitely want to let y'all know that it's going to be more than just KOTC next year. A1 on the West Coast, LAB in Virginia. The thing is, it's going to be just as many tournaments, like underground tournaments, that it was. It's actually, this year compared to last year, I'll say it's going to be a good six or seven more tournaments than it was last year. So if Little Man won four or five of them, there's still going to be 9 or 10 other tournaments where you can get points. The top 10 list is going to be ridiculous. You're going to have to win over 5,000 points to even compete.
What the Kill One's trying to say, though, at the end of the day is it is hard to win multiple tournaments. There's only three people this year, to my knowledge, who did that. It was Dynasty, Lil Man, and myself. Other than that, there are people who won here and there, and that was it. Now, if you have someone who wins three or four Super Bowls, then they're now propelled over a guy who had great showing, great tournament he went to, but only had one tournament win the show for it. So I think he's not talking about just the player of the year. I think he's talking about, like, 8 through 10, you know, stuff like that, like, as far as the pecking order goes for who was better this year than some other guy, like, his ranking
system. Talking about a lot of
that's exactly it, K-Star. That's exactly it.
But Cornstar, one tournament win with the adjusted scale, we're just talking an average tournament, is going to get you about 700 to about 750 points.
I see what the
600 plus the payout points
for 30 to 49 people.
Correct.
If one wins four Super Bowls and this person wins a huge tournament, as this would be, they still have more points than them for one, and two, if they keep doing really good,
right,
it's hard for people to win multiple tournaments in a year.
But you're assuming then that person would never finish second through fourth either. In any tournament.
Definitely.
And you're taking one guy who 1 year won three Super Bowls, which has never happened.
That's an anomaly.
That's an example we're using that happened last year. Our most recent data we have. I mean, that's what we have to go off. Just like the tournament went with Dynasty, myself, and Lil Man.
It happened once, and you're assuming it's going to – I mean, we have a brand-new game. We don't know, you know, it's going to be another shift in power, you know. So, you know, 09 was 09, and you guys that are complaining said anybody could beat anybody in 09. So, I mean, you know, let's see what Madden 10 brings. But I think the key thing here is when you're looking at what happened last year with the three Super Bowls, what Gambino is saying, what I said at the very beginning, and what Rod is saying is you can't take this year's points to last year's accomplishments because it's a different structure this year. So if you're going to do it, then you have to do it to the tournament winners too. And then you'll see the disparity. You'll see the difference if a guy who does well in a tournament versus a guy who does well in the leagues. You'll see the difference.
Oh, and we're doing that, but what the Killer One simply is saying is that if one guy wins a tournament for 2 points, you know, where it's 30 to 49 people and has several good showings the rest of the year at tournaments, that if a guy who wins three or four Super Bowls, they have more points. He's talking about not just playing the year, he's just talking about like the pecking order and which his ranking system entails of who was better than who accomplished more than that. And I see what the Killer One's saying. If some guy wins only one tournament, because it's very hard to win multiple tournaments, only two people did this year. If one guy wins one tournament and has several good finishes, it's going to be very hard for them to beat out some guy who's won a few Super Bowls in 1 year.
What if we did this, Cornstar? Maybe Rod could do this if he has a chance. Take the top, let's say, 15 guys from last year and translate their accomplishments into the new pay scale and show these guys, you know, where JBev would fall, because I don't believe that even winning three or four Super Bowls, he would even fall into the top 20.
He wouldn't be in the top 20, even if you did that, simply because of the bonus points. The thing
right.
with the tournaments, you have a flexibility. If a major is 65 plus, you can have a $25 tournament. If 65 guys come up, your points are so flexible with the scale. Whereas the online guys, 200, you're flat. There's nothing you can get above 200. Whereas on a given day, you can get up to 1,500 points for, you know, from coming to a tournament. It's pretty much going to be almost impossible. Almost impossible
okay.
for a tournament guy alone. I mean, for a league guy alone to win, he's going to have to come out. Bottom line, they
right.
got to come out. And this is what
yeah,
we want. They got to come out. They
the
need
main
to come
thing,
out.
The main thing was that this was just entice guys, get them their mouth salivating to travel to these tournaments. K-Star, let me ask you this. One guy won a Madden Challenge last year. He got I don't know how many points he got compared to Little Man. Would you say that guy that won the Madden Challenge has more points than Little Man at this point in time in the season? Is he better than Little Man? So I mean, it's the same argument when you try to compare the leagues, all the leagues, to the guy that goes to the tournament. If he only went to one Madden Challenge compared to how the leagues, they play several four games a week, several seasons, every Madden. So, I mean, it's just a lot of, like I said at the beginning, it's a lot of good things, it's a lot of bad things, and everything is still in the works.
Elijah, I understand that, but no one is using the Madden Challenge from last year and putting it this year. What we're looking at right now is...
But the Madden
right
Challenge points was... But the scale y'all was looking at, that has Madden Challenge points in it. But I understand.
The new scale. I'm talking about the new scale. We're trying to translate last year, people who won multiple turns or whatever, into this year's new point system, while also incorporating JBiz, Houston for wins, and all the other stuff.
Yeah, don't even look at the people who won multiple tournaments, because you know they're going to be in the top five.
We're not focusing at that right now. We're not looking at that right now. We're looking at, say, like 7 through 8 and stuff like that. Because at the end of the day, what you're basically saying with this universal ranking system, this person had a better year than that person. And, again, if you take Houston for wins, 600 points. You take a guy who won one tournament with 30 to 49 people, 600 points.
600 plus whatever the payout was. Whatever the payout was is also added to that.
Right. Okay. And
so it's a minimum of 650.
Right. Minimum.
He had several Elite Eight finishes or whatever. Thought the whole year has a good year or whatever. And to say this guy has another Super Bowl win, I just disagree with the stance that he may have had a better year than this other guy who won a tournament, a big tournament, still had great showings all these other tournaments, but for whatever reason to play online or just didn't do it in general. I mean,
I think that your position on that would be more solid if you actually joined the league and tried it, because you're a tournament guy. So you're saying, I think it's harder because that's what I do. Why don't you come over to this side of the fence and try it? That's all I'm saying. I've done your side.
Yep.
Why can't you come and do it? And let's
yep.
and then
yep.
after you've played a season, play one season, and then come on the show and tell us what you think.
I'm in the majors. I'll give you my season. If it's cool with Commish T, I'll give you my spot for one season and see where you place. And then you come back on the show and you make your judgment.
19-0.
I mean, again, you keep saying, you know, you guys have been where we've been, but at the same time, when have we seen like consistent league winners win a tournament or something of that nature? The competitive balance is indifferent for the two.
Yeah. Well, you know what, Case? I do hear your points, but they're extremely hypothetical. You know, there's no evidence of that ever happening in the history of
there's
Madden.
Evidence of no one winning these leagues coming in and winning these tournaments. But there's
also
evidence between these going to league and winning a league. I understand that. But what, you know, is more valuable, what would clearly say who's better.
So then if it's so easy, then join. What's up
no
with
so
the homina, man?
Seen.
Come on, man. Join up, man. Enough excuses, man.
No, I think the difference is that because leagues don't offer the prize. I mean, some leagues do, but most leagues don't give you the kind of prize a tournament will. I mean, the time you have to put into a league to get, I mean, just it's not the same. That's why I don't join leagues. I'm pretty sure that's why K-Star doesn't join leagues either.
I mean, that's fine. I just think that when we have this discussion, we have this debate, and I'm talking with guys that haven't played in any of these leagues, it's hard for me to sit here and really hear you.
We have played in leagues, though.
Well, you haven't played
in
any
a couple
league.
Of leagues.
I haven't played in your league. There's a difference. That's all.
No, I didn't say my league. I'm saying sanctioned. You don't have to join the EAFL. Join the Lex. I don't care. Playing
a sanctioned
league.
But we played in
league. But it's not the same thing. The guy just said he played in leagues and blew people out by 50 points. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about any league that somebody throws together. I'm talking about a well-run, well-organized you know, league that has, you know, rules and, you know, this is what we expect of you. I mean, it's not that simple. It's not that simple. That's all I'm not, you have not heard me once say that it's easy to win a tournament. It's hard to win a tournament. It's, you know, I see what you guys go through. I've sat there next to you guys and watched, you know, and I'm not taking away how hard it is to win a tournament. Thus why you get so many points if you win a tournament. But, you know, for anybody that can come into one of these leagues and do what some of these guys did last year, it's not that easy, man, I'm telling you. And I just want you guys to come see for yourself. That's all I'm saying. And I'm pretty sure if Grand Champion was on the phone, he'd be saying, hey, guys, the Lex is right here. You know, let me show you what the Lex is all about.
Yo, man, I got one more thing before I go. What y'all trying to get guys to go into the tournament scene? I mean, you got 9 ESL seasons. I'm just I'm not saying to do it or anything, but why don't you get like the guys who actually want to go out to tournaments? You know, donate 50 cents a season. I mean, you got 9 times 32. I mean, with that money, get them a plane ticket and get them out there to those tournaments. See how they do. I mean, do something like that. And
we're
the point
we're
is that's cool.
On that.
Point,
I mean, we had, like I said, we had 22 at Players Bowl. So I mean, we're
I'd love to see more EAFL guys out there. I mean, I love my online dudes, but like
the EAFL guys are coming out. It's evidence that it is. You know, I'm a big guy on stats and evidence. They came out big on the KOTC on the East Coast. They started coming out. So I think this is just going to be that much better. But I just like there's a lot of excitement about this thing, and people feel different ways. The only way we can prove it, we're going to prove this on the sticks. The game comes out, you know, August 14th. This is going to be proven because somebody, dude, there's guys that and I feel a certain way too about. You know, I'm a tournament guy deep down, but so I feel a certain way about this too. I think the way we're going to see this is we're going to see this at the events. The live events when these guys come out and it's face to face, and we're going to find out, you know, who's the best. We're definitely going to find that out. But it all starts with getting out of your house and getting into the event. And I think we're going towards that. And I think this debate is going to be settled. What we talked about tonight, little man, this and that. This is all going to be settled. We'll have some answers. We're going to have some answers by September, and it's just going to continue on until the end of the season. So I'm very excited. And when you see guys that are passionate about something like this, it means something. So I think I think this is a very good sign and a step in the right direction. So we know we're going to see. We're going to definitely going to see.
Hey guys, before Daniel, are you still there?
Yeah, I'm still there.
But before you go, I know you said you got to run, but the show started, you know, with NCAA football talk, and I don't know you that well, but you know, you seem like a very well-spoken young man, and if you could for me, could you tell me about your NCAA tournament experience last year? I heard about it. It was a big deal, but you know, I'm really interested to get you know, your input as to what happened that day.
Oh man, I don't know if you ever seen that YouTube video, but it's on TML somewhere. But yeah, I mean the regional was cake. I mean, I walked through all those guys 21-0 to the finals. I went over to Pasadena. There was I think 16 or 17 schools represented. I played a couple of games. 21-2 guys beat some other guy by like 14. I forgot how many rounds exactly, but the finals, I mean, the dude's actually pretty decent. He plays on I'm not really sure, but I played him in the finals, and I had a chance to tie the game with 3 points. I was, like, on the 10-yard line. I decided to go for the rocket. I mean, you still had the left trigger on the
NCAA.
So I went for the strafe or whatever, and I got it. I got it with 4 seconds left in there. I was celebrating. My brother was behind me celebrating. So my thought process was like, all right, I got this game wrapped up. Give me my 10 stacks. So the last thing I had to worry about was Percy Harvin on the kick return. I mean, if anybody's played at NCAA 09, you know Percy returns at least one a game if you kick it them.
Right.
So I was like, I ain't taking that chance. So I kicked it out of bounds. It went to the 40. So I did what I think 90% of the Madden community would do, called prevent defense, dropped every single person back out there.
Yeah.
And he launched it exactly 58 yards. He turned around with a strafe, caught it at the 2-yard line. And I was the only dude on my team that jumped. Like, I don't, the other guys were just standing around. So, I don't know, if he caught it, I hit him. But he got the animation to where he turns around and gets that extra 2 yards. To
oh!
Him.
Wow.
Yeah.
God,
it was horrible. Like, yeah, don't even look at the video.
Yeah.
That video breaks my heart every time, but
so I mean, in that second, you went from 10 stacks to nothing, huh?
Yeah, I mean, you have no idea. You've never felt that feeling. Maybe some of you have, but that's a horrible feeling. I was there with a big smile on my face, just looking at the crowd like, yeah, I got this money. But, no.
Killer One, I went from 5-0 one year against Jet Steel. I know Gambino remembers that. With
seconds
left. I think it's to the Final Four, man. Challenge Finals. I laid down for the cash. It happened.
All right, hey, guys, let me interject here. I'm going to have to start to wrap up. We have to get K-Stars 5-1 in, and I'm on a plane tomorrow morning, so I'm heading out to Vegas. So after tonight, I'm going to be in incognito for several days. But before we do that, let's go ahead while we have everybody on the line, heck, let's go ahead and get back to Case. I think this was a great discussion, a great debate. There really is no right or wrong. We all have opinions, and we all have passionate feelings. Like Rod said, it's going to get settled on the sticks. I can't wait to see what the online dudes can do, what the tournament guys can do, what the hybrid guys that are both can do. I think it's going to be exciting. We're 5.5 weeks away, and I can't wait. But let me turn it back over to my co-host, Cornstar. And I hope everyone sees by now, the guy's uncensored. He says what he wants, even if we don't agree. You know, he can do as he please, man. So that said, we're going to turn it back to Cornstar. 5-1, Madden 09 Bums. Cornstar?
I'm so happy the Killer One's here with me right now.
Yeah,
by the way. All right, here we go. Number 5. We have the future, the 13-year-old kid who made the Final Four at Players Bowl. Don't know how he did it. I don't think I watched a single one of his games. I just remember hearing that he was in the Final Four, and I about shit myself. That was the worst thing I've ever heard in my life. I think this kid's epitome of Madden 09 because when you have a 13-year-old kid amongst elite competition, and Madden is supposed to be, you know, a game like where, you know, it's not only his fist skills, but it's schemes and stuff like that. When you have a kid who can just run, like, 4 curls and, you know, some streaks in between, and get to the Final Four just blasting it and, like, in quadruple coverage, and you know there's a problem with the game. And this kid and his mom also is, like, 5A on this list, by the way. She's also Madden 09 bum because I don't think we're going to see her ever again. So, I don't know. I mean, the future, 13-year-old kid made the Final Four. I don't think anything else needs to be said about him. We'll see what the future holds, but I don't know. Number 4. Oh, my God. All right. Number 4. We have the Killer One, who is live with us right now. First off, let me start off with the I hate you comment, because he beat me in the Final 32 at Players Bowl. The night before we had played, we had a great game at the Crew vs. Crew Challenge. It was EMB versus SNS, and we had a great game.
SNS Bando.
Don't want to hear it. We had a great game, and I ended up beating him barely. And the next day, in the Final 32, he ended up beating me, and I was up, I think, 7-10-3 or something like that. Like a minute 30 left, he had a great drive, ended up scoring a touchdown, then played good defense. And I, like an idiot, decided to punt it instead of just running like a 4th-and-13 curl. And he got an easy field goal, won the game. But as you know, I hate you with all my heart for that because I thought I was going to win that day. But secondly, this is the first year I've really seen the Killer One kind of have, you know, a great, terrific year. I know he still is SJO's brother. Actually, I saw him in L.A. the year before at the Madden Challenge Finals. I remember him playing RG, and RG was yelling at him the whole time, saying, I'm not going to lose to the online bum, and they had a really good game, and he won. I know the Killer One was decent in Madden 08, but tournament-wise, he didn't really make any noise, which is why the Killer One, you were on my list. But, again, there's no offense we've taken, like I said, bro. It's all legit. I mean, you prove yourself next year, it's all good. You had a great year this year, that's why I have you on the list. I believe you won a tournament out in Dallas, didn't you?
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's another reason why you're on the list. All right, number 3, we have El Captain, the one and only online hero to many, because this is the guy who won the online Madden Challenge and made a name for himself at the Madden Challenge Finals. He got a lot of airtime at Turks and Caicos, and was in Dynasty's face, and, you know, they don't really like each other too much, so that's always entertaining. And, you know, he was the online hero last year. He also got to the finals against me at the Columbus $1,000 tournament, 35-17, by the way, I won. But he had, you know, he was in finals multiple times, and the thing with him was he used a lead block a lot last year to run the ball a lot, and, you know, ran 4 curls. And the thing with him is there's rumor to be no – I believe they said there's no lead block in Madden 10.
Dun, dun,
so,
dun.
If that is true, Captain, it is time to get a new offense. And number two, we have the guy who was often spoken about tonight, Little Man. He was undoubtedly a top three player this year. You know, he won multiple tournaments. He was known for his crushing hit stick. And he was also known for his four-quarter offense. He even had a personator. His name was so big this year on some other show or whatever. And Little Man, he won a lot of tournaments this year. So it was his first year, whatever, really competing. I mean, I remember playing Man 08 at Players Bowl in the playoffs, and I beat him. But this is his first year. He kind of really burst onto the scene or whatever and made a name for himself. And he had a real good year. But, you know, I remember seeing talk with him on the forum talking about how to beat coverage defense, and he thinks, if there's no rocket catch, that, you know, the game is doomed and sucks and everything. And if he feels that way, then I don't know what to tell him. But he's got a lot to prove next year, prove he's no fluke. And at number one, the reason why this man is number one was because he destroyed Madden 09. He created the blueprint to Madden 09, and I hate him for it. I really do. We have Boy Blue at number one. Now, he won a Madden Challenge. He's an SNS. But the main reason, like I said, he's number one on my list is because he's the one who came out with four curls and a fly route. And he was not joking when he said, or him in replay, said four curls and a fly route. That was his offense.
Nah, the fullback dive. Don't forget the fullback dive, man.
Yeah, that and the fullback dive. So because of that, Boy Blue, a Madden Challenge winner, he has to make the number one spot on the list just because, again, he created the blueprint. He destroyed this game. All the potential I had on the bus thinking this game was good, nah, it was awful. And he destroyed the game. I hate him for it. And, again, this is his first year really emerged. I know he played last year competitively. I remember, and I like Boy Blue. Please don't take offense, Boy Blue. I remember Madden 08 Players Bowl 1. You were there. And you were doing quarterback kneels into fullback dives. That's terrible, by the way. That's awful. How do you live with yourself at night? At Players Bowl 2, in 2008, he didn't show up because there's a rule against it. So my question to you, Boy Blue, is will you have a good Madden 10 offense? Will you have a good year? And will it not involve the fullback dive and four curls? We shall see.
And that's why fullback dive all day. We'll do it in 2010 until it stops being made. We love that fullback dive.
Now, can you quickly just go 10 through 1 in case we had – I'm getting messages from guys that joined joined late, so just go 10 through 1 so everyone can hear you straight through.
All right, 10, we have Sean Madden. 9, we have Mr. Field Goal Block himself, Cali's Finest. Number 8, we have the entire Brotherhood Foundation. Number 7, we have Gamer Saloon Legend this year, DeBears. Number 6, we have my boy, who will not suck next year because I will not let him, Drag Racer. Number 5, we have the kid, the future. Number 4, we have the killer one who's live with us now. Number 3, we have Captain, a.k.a. Get Off Me, Son. Number 2, we have Little Man. Number 1, we have Mr. Blueprint, Madden 09, Boy Blue. And there were some people who just missed the list, like a Newton. By the way, Newton, I saw you on the boards. I know you want some love. For some reason, you want to be on my list, so you get an honorable mention. For you. For you, an honorable mention. You get it.
All right.
Again, to all who made this list, all you got to do to get off the list for next year is just prove to be a good Madden player. That's it. Killer One, you have a lot of good people around you. I'm sure you can make it happen. You're going to play the game a lot, so we'll see what happens next year.
Yeah, and just to throw it out there, anybody who wants SNS next year, we will be live at most of the tournaments. You can get us for whatever, EMB, GTP, EAFL, whoever wants it. We're going to be ready. So with that said, I'm going to let you finish your show, man. Y'all take care.
Hey, man, thanks for coming on the show. If you holler at replay, tell them Commissioner T said what's going on.
All right, I'll let him know, man.
All right. All right, good to have you. All right. With that said, guys, we went a lot longer than I had planned. I planned to wrap up at 11. Brother trying to catch a plane in the morning. But the energy was good. The energy was strong. And, you know, all I will say to you guys is this, you know, my job is to get you to come listen to the show and to provide entertainment for the show. And we started off with Wendy from Virginia, the first potential member of the EAFL, a woman member. Maybe Corn Star will hook us up with Demolition from
My girl
10K,
Emma.
His girl Emma from the 10K.com. And maybe
I'm going to be coaching her. Let's go.
Hey, let's go. You know, we then had an excellent roundtable with members of Operation Sports, NCAStrategies.com, EASportsFan.com, and, of course, EA Sports Community Managers. Appreciate that. We've had my co-host, Cornstar, take over the show, dominate the show with his top 10 top 10 Madden bums of 09 that will have to prove themselves for Madden 10. And we had a spirited debate, which NJ Rod joined us. Bobby did chime in early on, unfortunately couldn't get back. I knew Bobby had to work, but at least we got his voice on here real quick. You know, spirited debate about the ranking points and J-Bev over Little Man. Yeah, I said it. What? I said it. Oh, I love it. I love it. I love it. But I just want to thank everybody for coming on to the show. I want to thank everybody for participating in the show. And I want to thank everybody for making last week's show so powerful. And from what I can see, this week's show is not going to be bad either from what I can see from the numbers. Cornstar, my co-host, any final words, any final thoughts?
No, I mean, just next week I'm probably going to have another top 10 list. I still need to figure out what it is, but I want to make sure we have a good segment next week as well. And just some stuff from Madden 10. And I love you EAFL guys. I love you online guys. I don't want you guys to get it twisted. I'm friends with many of them. I may end up playing the lead this year. Who knows? Let's see if I get some extra points. We'll see what happens. But that's it. I don't want anyone to think that I'm not an online guy because that's, you know, where I came from and where most people came from. That's all.
Nah, I don't take. You guys understand? I don't take none of this personal at all. So, you know, if I had thin skin, I wouldn't be hosting the show. Certainly wouldn't be running the EAFL. So I don't take it all personal. I think it's great. Like Rod said, the energy is great. The enthusiasm is great. I'm sure the other radio show will pick up on some of these things and continue on tomorrow night. So you guys can go check them out. I will not be around. I will be in Vegas. Okay. Y'all heard? All right. Thank everybody for coming on the show, everybody in the chat room, everybody for your tweets, your emails. Check us out on Twitter. Join. Follow me on Twitter, The Madden Voice. Check out the fan page on Facebook, The Madden Voice. And we're going to sign off with might be the only sports-related song. We had the other song, I'll put it up on the website with Shaq and Ice Cube, but we got a very popular sports-related song with Michael Jackson. We're going to close off with Michael Jackson. May he rest in peace. But remember, before we go to Michael Jackson, to join the EAFL, because particularly for Madden 10, it's where all feuds will be settled on the field.
Confusion's constricted, except do we know right for hell. I just want you to recognize.
kind of a Michael comes out of home.
It ain't too hard for me to jam. It ain't too hard for me to jam. It ain't too hard for me to jam. It ain't too hard for me to jam.